The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nicknamed my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and it's a big day. A lot of news. We were promised a flurry of signings, and certainly the Patriots are on the verge of doing just that. We're going to talk about everything that transpired yesterday and could transpire within the next 4 days. Good stuff. All good stuff for the Patriots. I'm excited. I'm excited. They're, once again, aggressive in free agency. And once they get Abraham, this is going to be the perfect offseason.
I wanted to say that to everybody. Fred Kirsch yesterday deemed this an Abraham signing away from the perfect offseason.
That's correct. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Guys. We got Emmanuel Sanders with an offer sheet. Pittsburgh has until Sunday to either match that or let him become a Patriot and take a third-round pick from the Patriots. Tommy Kelly was officially announced, and Julian Edelman is back on a one-year deal. So a lot of movement for the Patriots. What do you guys think?
I'm wondering what Pittsburgh's going to do, whether they're going to want to take the draft pick or re-sign the guy.
I agree.
I'd take the pick.
I would take the pick too
now,
if I were them.
Let me tell you something. I was listening to Sirius NFL Radio this morning.
Adam Schein.
Ed Bouchette, longtime Steeler. He says they should not even think twice about letting him go to the Patriots. They should not re-sign him.
What's that tell you about Emmanuel Sanders?
Well, this is what I'm saying. And according to the station, was Vic Carucci, our friend, and some other guy. They said that majority of Steeler fans agree.
Yes. I
found that interesting yesterday.
What's his name tweeted? The old lineman from here tweeted they'd taken like 20 calls and it was unanimous. Every Steelers fan said, let him go.
Ross Tucker
tweeted that. And that tells me a lot about Emmanuel Sanders. And especially they already lost Mike Wallace. So there's part of you that has to think, maybe I should keep him just for continuity's sake.
I think that's
so
the only thing that's...
Well, it's a bad reason, though.
No, it's absolutely a bad reason. But I think the only reason why it's not, you know, a complete open and shut case is the fact that they're probably looking at it and say, you know, well, then we'll have Antonio Brown and what else?
Right. I'll draft a guy.
Well, that's the thing. They feel that they draft pretty well. A lot of these guys that the Steelers have drafted over the years were third-round picks or worse, including Mike Wallace. They were all third-round picks or worse.
Including this guy, Sanders.
Yeah. And so
third-round pick.
Unlike the Patriots, who haven't had very good luck drafting wide receivers, the Steelers have.
Well, I mean, they've had some blown ones.
Well,
I mean,
Hines Ward was a third-round.
Limus Sweet, they blew.
Okay.
They blew that pick. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody has their mistakes. You can't say, if I take a guy in the third round, he's guaranteed that
he's going
to help.
No, but I'm talking about specifically wide receivers.
I am, too. Limus Sweet was a wide receiver drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But Hines Ward was.
Jesus.
He's getting mad.
Hines Ward was third round. Antonio Brown was third round. Mike Wallace.
I understand.
You know?
I know all that, Fred. But let's not. I like Kevin Colbert more than anyone. I think he is arguably one of the best personnel men in football. But let's not just pretend that he's going to draft a guy, and that guy's going to just slide right in, and it's perfect, and our offense won't miss a beat.
No, but I'm talking
about... And you already lost a receiver.
You see, you're missing the whole point. In terms of perception in history, I think if you're a Steeler fan, you have a little bit more confidence than if you were a Patriots fan and they were in the same boat, right?
Yeah,
I guess,
probably.
But
right?
Yeah.
Minimally, I'd be worried about both. If you tell me my team is going to lose two of its top three receivers and I'm just going to replace it with a third-round pick, I'm concerned.
And, you know, I know the Steeler fans are probably like, you know, the first thing they see is, oh, he's going to the Patriots. Screw him. Let him go. I'm sure that's part of it, too.
Maybe.
You know, I don't think
just seems like they don't really want him.
It
seems like they're under-impressed.
They're as spiteful as the Patriots are.
Oh, fans are spiteful.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think if they thought he was a good player, they'd hope that their team matches it.
Well, he's not that. Well, he had one touchdown last year.
Yeah. He's got five for his career.
Yeah.
He's Donald Jones is what he is.
Yeah.
Except and Donald Jones didn't warrant a restricted free agent tender at all from the Buffalo Bills. Their numbers are very similar in 3 years. Sanders is a little better, but also played on a lot better of a team.
A lot better of a quarterback.
And I printed out both stats. Just 94 catches in 3 years for Sanders, 82 in 3 years for Jones, with five more games played for Sanders. Five touchdowns for Sanders, six for Jones. So... it's really, they're very similar guys. They're guys that can play in the slot and play a little outside. Most of on both has been in the slot. Some people, you know, reading some of the stuff this morning, some people wondered if maybe Sanders was capable of more but was held behind Wallace and Brown in Pittsburgh. You know, maybe that's what the Patriots are banking on. I heard Jason Cole this morning sort of allude to that. You know, they're sort of betting on his potential here. And a lot of, the other part of it that we haven't even touched yet is the possibility that the Patriots would give him a long-term deal immediately if Pittsburgh decides not to match.
Let's talk about that, because I guess Jason Cole from Yahoo Sports wrote that, you know, teams may not look, you know, that kindly if the Patriots did that. Explain what you think he's talking about, because I didn't actually read the article. Well, I've been busy.
Fred's a little fragile this morning. He came running by my office breathlessly saying, "What time is it?" At about 10 minutes of 12. The restricted, according to the rules, there is nothing that prohibits you from extending the guy, you know, taking that 1 year deal and making it a long term deal if and when, you know, either side. If Pittsburgh decides to match it, right now the reports say it's a 1 year, $2.5 million deal. So if Pittsburgh decides to match that, or if they don't and the Patriots get them, either team, Pittsburgh or New England, would be allowed to take the contract and make it a long-term deal. The only stipulation there is the $2.5 million base salary cannot be lowered.
Right.
So the cap number cannot go below $2.5 million. That salary has to stay the same, according to Jason Cole. It doesn't have to stay the same. It can't drop.
Right.
It could increase, obviously.
Why would you
want to Kevin,
increase
can you,
it? No, I'm just saying it can't drop. So it would seem to me, it sounds like the way that Cole wrote it today, and he cited the chapter and verse out of the CBA and whatnot. There's nothing illegal about it, but it would seem to me to sort of be a violation of kind of the spirit of restricted free agency. But if that's the rules, that's the rules. And certainly, as Bill says, those are the rules. We'll comply with them.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at both the restricted free agency section of the CBA, and I also looked at, you know, the section of bargain, you know, negotiating in good faith. And Neither one of them, there was a rule against it. As long as it's not less than, you can do it.
Wait, but I don't believe you can have it in place.
But, well, that would, yeah, that would
that's
be,
the part that,
that
really
be,
stinks.
That would be,
I mean, it's
really
sort of like
unethical.
When Bill chastised the Giants, and you know, I
know they wouldn't
they
be
wouldn't
doing
have
that.
Another deal already in place, or however he worded it. You know, that would be kind of the thing. I don't think it's, I mean, admit, you know, Jason Cole wrote, to his belief, no one has ever signed a restricted free agent offsheet of 1 year in the 20-year history, whatever.
Yeah, and
that makes sense. Why would a player ever sign a 1 year deal to leave when you have a 1 year deal on the table mm-hmm. from your current team?
And you know what's funny about that? And Andy and I were talking about this quite a bit this morning, and I was reading Mike Reese, and he brings up Rodney Bailey. When we signed Rodney Bailey, was a 1 year deal. So, I mean, even Jason Cole didn't even remember that. You know, it was both the same teams involved. The Patriots signing
a
restricted free agent from Pittsburgh.
How come we only signed Steelers on restricted free agent deals?
And that was a 1 year deal. So it's not, I guess, that uncommon. It has happened before. I was unaware of the ability to renegotiate. Yesterday afternoon at this time, I was just thinking they wanted to make it a 1 year deal because they wanted to make it, you know, that lump, you know, sort of make it a little bit more difficult for Pittsburgh. And at the same time, now Pittsburgh has to worry about, well, if I match this offer, not only I need to, you know, fit him into the cap, but I also have the risk of losing him after 1 year. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought they were trying to sort of dissuade Pittsburgh. I was unaware that you could extend the contract of a restricted free agent tender. Offer sheet.
Yeah.
Evidently, you can.
But theoretically, both teams run that risk. Assuming that it's all on the up and up, whichever team signs this contract has the chance to lose him next year. The Patriots, in my
opinion, have more
to lose. They're going to lose a third.
Because they could lose the player and
right.
a third-round pick, whereas Pittsburgh is only going to lose the player.
We, you know,
ripped
them for drafting Kevin O'Connell in the third round and cutting him a year later. Well, that's what you're essentially going to be doing if you sign
correct.
Emmanuel Sanders, potentially. So, I don't really get it. I don't really get him.
That's why I think Pittsburgh's going to take the pick.
Right. I mean, I think the only reason for them is, you know, we can't let two of our top three receivers go. We need somebody that is comfortable, that we have some confidence in production. Other than that, I said to Paul, to me, this is a slap in the face to Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman re-signs for 1 year maximum at $1.15 million if he catches like 80 balls. And he's arguably an elite punt returner, or among the most productive, if you don't think he's elite talent-wise.
I think
he's among the most productive in the NFL. At least he has that. Emmanuel Sanders does nothing. You know, everybody's trying to sell me. I heard Jason, you know, he's a little faster, can play on the outside, might have the speed to stretch the field more than Brandon Lloyd did. Well, then how come his longest catch is 37 yards, and he's never had a catch in a season longer than that? I mean, Wes Welker is supposedly slow and doesn't hit any big plays. Every year, multiple times a year, he would have big plays.
He does have decent yards per catch numbers, though.
Right.
And 14.2 is a pretty healthy average per catch.
Yeah, but I'm not impressed because you're playing with Mike Wallace, you're playing with Santonio Brown, you're playing with other options, and you're the extra guy. You should break a few big plays. You should be forgotten about by a defense. Coverage should roll to Mike Wallace. You know, Bill told us how much time they make sure Mike Wallace doesn't beat us.
You're right.
Well, how come when they're focusing on Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders never beats him for more than 37 yards?
And, I mean, just to give you the comparison, I'm going to go back to our buddy Donald Jones, who
DJ.
None of us is overly excited about. I mean, it's a guy that you bring in, you see what you got, you kick the tires, maybe you have a little something there. But no one was sort of, breaking open the paper and just stop the presses to add Donald Jones to the cover of PFW when we signed him. He's a guy that did exactly what you just described. Stevie Johnson is the focal point of the Buffalo Bills passing attack. He gets a lot of the attention. Who cut across the middle for a 68-yard touchdown? Donald Jones. You know, he's a guy that sort of fell through the cracks. That's what you would think you'd see at least occasionally from Emmanuel Sanders, but yet you really didn't. His long for his career is 37 yards, which was last year. Just looking at year by year, Donald Jones has a longer catch every year than that, 40, 48, and 68. Okay. And I don't think Donald Jones is anything special. I think he's a guy that didn't warrant a restricted free agent tender from a very bad team.
I think that 68 might have come against New England, too.
It did. Most of his work came against the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm not
making fun of Donald Jones for that, but most of his best games came against the Patriots. I think two of his six touchdowns were against the Patriots as well.
But it's a whole new world for both of these guys once they're on New England with Tom Brady. So So very confident that
I just hope they get to meet him someday.
Are you really?
One or both will be immediate impact to this team.
Okay, so
positive.
Let's say they decide that Sanders is their draft pick. They sign him. They bring Edelman back. They got the other two guys. Are you comfortable with the receiving core?
And Jones, yeah, I am.
Pregnant pause.
Yeah, I am. I have to think about it, sure.
He wasn't last year with Welker and 1,400-yard Brandon Lloyd. This year, I'm good
Fred,
with it.
Just so you know, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
But I'm in the minority.
I'm not.
I'm not either.
You're going to see a massive fallback from the
Yeah.
Now, and what my one stipulation that I'll repeat from Tuesday.
Assuming they don't draft.
This is assuming Rob Gronkowski is okay.
Like,
right.
That's my big assumption.
Of course.
I'm not sure that's a safe assumption at this point.
It's not.
According to breaking news, by the way. Not breaking, but whatever. Karen Garigian apparently says that his surgery is going to be delayed a few more weeks to make sure the infection has cleared. So that's the finish line, the start line, keep moving out.
To make sure it's cleared. So,
I don't know.
Again,
reading
a tweet. There's a lot of gray there because if they're having trouble with the infection, wouldn't you want to get in there right now?
I have no idea.
How do you treat an infection? Do you go in and have surgery to treat the infection?
Yeah, you go out and you clear it out.
Wait, but you can't cut his bone out. If the infection is in the bone, you can't cut part of the bone out. And right?
I mean, I guess that's something that a tight end would need.
Right. So you have to cure it through antibiotics or flushing or that stuff. It's not like a cancer or something. They go through and take a chunk. Well, you can't take a chunk of his forearm. He'll never play again.
It just sounds to me like they want to make sure that it's cured before they go in. But if they're having trouble, wouldn't they know now that this isn't going to be cured in 2-3 weeks?
No,
maybe
unless they have changed the antibiotic
right,
cycle.
I'm sure they have
midstream.
We're going to get more aggressive with the treatment
or whatever. But I mean, I think they can know or hope
lingo.
Anyway. I mean, when the doctor gives you this should clear it up. If it isn't better in 10 days, call me. Right, that's the same thing. This should clear it up in 10 days. We'll do the surgery.
Yeah, but
or whatever.
I think it's a positive to me that. They're waiting a few weeks to make sure it's completely cleared up.
I think the whole thing's a negative.
You think the whole thing's a negative?
Yeah, I do.
Certainly I'd rather not have the infection.
No,
I'm dating back to November. This whole thing has been a negative debacle. It has. The best player on your team.
No, I agree with that.
Is not going down a road I like.
Knowing that we can't fix what's happened in the past, now we
I'm not even worried about that.
Now
I'm worried they can't fix what's happening in the present.
Now we can only look forward. I think that it's a positive sign that they want to make sure that it's all gone.
I have no
idea. Why is that a positive sign?
Because otherwise they'd be like,
what do you think the alternative is? We don't care if
he
has an infection?
They don't want to make sure it's all gone.
The alternative is we know there's going to be a problem. We got to do something now.
I don't think there's anything to do.
I think they know there's a problem.
Right.
That's why they're waiting for it to be cleared up.
They can't cut the bone out. They can't remove the area that's infected because that would – I would assume,
Didn't we read the other day that there has to be no infection remaining for them to replace the plate?
Right.
The plate, right.
And that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah.
Right.
Somehow
and
that's
a
good thing.
And then they're going to replace the plate.
What happens in 10 weeks, the waiting period, if it's still not gone? Is that a good sign?
No, that's not good. But I would think that, they would know. I just think they would know right now if this thing isn't going to be cleared up in a few weeks. I would think they would know.
Oh, well, maybe they do.
Yeah.
All we know is the report is they're waiting. Right? Yeah. That's all we know.
I just want to know how he knows. Like, when they had a surgery back in January, do you think that they anticipated an infection lingering?
Nope.
I don't know how that you can be so optimistic about
I'm very optimistic.
I'm pessimistic.
Okay. I mean, I understand your optimism about Emmanuel Sanders.
I don't
understand when he gets
that.
No, I'm just saying, but you're Fred. I understand Fred saying, when he gets with Tom Brady and blah, 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 blah. I don't understand how you can be optimistic about the presence of an infection in your all-pro tight end's arm. I don't know how you can find optimism about that.
Should I tell you the part about Sanders where there's already reports that one of the areas he struggles is being on the same page as the quarterback?
Well, I did see, and I'm not going to be a fraud here. I don't take the Pro Football Focus stuff,
except when it suits his argument.
As a Bible, but I found it laughable that I read a tweet from them today that said that he had three times as many interceptions thrown in his directions as touchdowns. That's unbelievable.
The one pass I give him on the whole being on the same page as the quarterback, if you're on the same page as Tom Brady, that page is written before the play starts. If you're on the same page as Ben Roethlisberger,
it
changes five times during the play itself.
Right.
So I don't – if he didn't have that like uncanny eye-to-eye, figure out what the other's doing, I don't necessarily fault him for that. He needs to know how to read the coverage and where Tom Brady thinks he's going to be at what time.
Eric, what's the matter?
I have a headache.
Oh.
pretty bad headache right now.
Water heater?
Well, no, that's...
That didn't cause it?
No, the bill might have.
What am I talking about?
Eric's water heater exploded.
Did it shoot out your roof like that commercial?
No, it was leaking from the bottom. I went down. I was leaving to come in yesterday, and I saw water on my basement floor and went and saw that the tank had ruptured after 16 years.
Yeah, it ran its course.
Yeah. Were they only supposed to last
bad things come in threes. These two both blew their water heaters
you
the
did
last
too?
Couple of weeks.
Well, yeah, a few weeks
I ago. I just got a new one.
But mine was under warranty, thank goodness. Still cost me $400.
Well, how old was yours?
Like 5-6 years.
And they only last like about 8
well,
at max.
They don't make them like they used to.
Luckily, I had a 9-year warranty on it. Oh. So.
So, yeah, I had $1,300 later.
Yeah.
But, you know, it lasted me 16 years, so.
Yeah. Can't you get?
I don't know what they're called. I mean, the plumber just installed it. I didn't see the brand name.
Why are there good
are there better ones than others?
I don't know.
GE? I mean, I don't even know who makes water heaters.
I don't know.
Fred's optimistic that the water heater blew now after 16 years.
I got a whirlpool.
Now we know.
Get a whirlpool.
Is that the thing you put the salt in?
No.
No, that's water softener.
Filtration systems.
No, this is just to heat the hot water in here.
That's another thing I need is, because I have hard water,
yeah.
I need to get some type of softener filtration system. Guy's like, oh, it's only a few $1,000. Oh, yeah.
My mother's was like, she had a pony, it was like $3,500.
Yeah.
And then you got to buy the bags.
Right, then you got to.
Because I got to do that.
Yeah. Anyway.
It wasn't enough that this mother bought a house.
So back to football. Okay, so what's your take on the Edelman resigning?
I think it's great for the team, but as I said, I think it's a little disrespectful to him that another Jag, and I think they're both Jags, whatever you want to. Edelman's more accomplished, and he knows this system. And I just can't believe he couldn't find anything out there. Tells me what little they thought of him. Yeah, we're just going to give you $1 million. No one else wants you either, so we'll bring you back. But
nobody wanted him coming out of college either.
I think it was pretty clear that no one wanted him. I mean, he went out there. He had a meeting with the Giants.
Or what they were offering was no better than what the Patriots was offering.
Which was nothing. I mean,
essentially nothing. No
guaranteed money.
He can possibly make. They thought so little of him. He doesn't even make his full salary if he goes on IR.
Yeah,
right.
He only makes half of his base salary if he ends up on IR again.
But I think if he stays healthy, it's good for the Patriots because now you got Leon Washington as a kick returner.
It's great for the Patriots. Yeah,
you've upgraded there.
Here's
right?
where my cynicism becomes optimism. I think it's great for the Patriots because they got nothing else, and if he stays healthy, he could be one of your star playmakers.
No, but
and
seriously,
make $1.1 million.
Right.
Looks, when Edelman got hurt, he was contributing positively to this offense. He was making plays.
He was one of your star playmakers.
He was making plays.
Incredelman.
Yeah. So, but now you've upgraded kick return with Leon Washington, and if he can stay healthy, he's a pretty good punt returner.
He's very good.
Yeah.
He's like two away from being the most productive in NFL history, according to PR or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He needed
I don't know the exact way you word that, but
I heard them talking about this morning, too. Oh, well, you know, they won't have Edelman returning punts anymore. It'd be Leon Washington. I'd be stunned if Julian Edelman is not returning punts. I think he is elite. I think he's an elite punt returner.
Yeah.
And that's why it's good that they have that IR thing in there because, you know, there's good likelihood he's going to get hurt doing it.
Well, but he's just an injury-prone guy. I mean, for whatever,
spike in the ball.
For whatever reason, like, I don't really remember. I mean, I'm not – who's to say how a guy ended up getting hurt, but he broke his foot against Miami while making a catch on an out pattern. It had nothing to do with punt returns. I just think that some guys, they get kind of snake bit. And I know that a lot of times when guys aren't on the field, they get a bad reputation, and I think it's tough. Now, there are times when I think guys don't play through injuries. But I think when you end up on IR, when you break your foot and end up on IR, that's not because you're soft.
Right. It's just you're unlucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of these guys' career, we call them injury-prone because they were unlucky.
And I say
and
the same
that's
thing,
just
by the way,
way it is.
And people might think I'm being hypocritical. I say the same thing about Amendola. I don't think that he's missed, you know, 15 games because he had, an ankle sprain that cost him 2 games and a hamstring that cost him 3. That, to me, is the kind of injuries that some guys find a way to play through and some guys can't. And I think that the ones that can't generally get termed soft. But when you break your collarbone and you miss 15 games because of it, I have a hard time calling you soft.
Right.
I think, you know, you're injury prone because, you know, you've had injuries that have
cost
you time.
Prone to injuries.
Right. But I think there's a little bit of a difference there. You know what I mean? I think that sometimes you get that stigma, you know, the Willie McGinnis, you know, you can't make the club from the tub. Everybody gets the sniffles, you know, big tough guy who missed, you know, like the first 8 years
more
of his career.
More time than anybody.
So the final big signing piece of the offseason, Abraham, I think what they're doing there is I think maybe Erika Lee is right and that perhaps, you know, there's certain guys you just play that game with. Well, yeah, we'll get it done in training camp and maybe – you know, so that he doesn't have to go through all this off-season stuff, and that's kind of the understanding they have with him.
Wouldn't you want him here sooner, though?
Yeah,
get into the program.
Maybe he doesn't want to. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a Brian Waters.
Yeah,
they clearly had that mapped out before he arrived.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, as a team, I want them all here. You know, but maybe that's.
But wait, didn't he leave here and go to Denver?
Who?
Abraham?
Yeah, to see what's out there. I would do that. Sure.
Well, see, now I don't like it as much.
Yeah.
You kind of had it worded like he's already here.
Yeah.
We'll file it and everything.
What if Denver's thinking that too?
Right. Like, your way is fine with me if that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But if he's still out there on the open market because he's still actively pursuing employment elsewhere.
Yeah. You're talking about Freeney and Abraham?
I'm talking about Abraham specifically. I really have no interest in Freeney. But.
I know you don't. Here's my problem with that. I think I'm with Andy. I think Edelman didn't really have a lot of choices.
Sure.
He didn't have a lot of options. I think there's a number that the Patriots have decided, this is what we're going to spend on our veteran pass rusher. I don't care if it's Freeney or Abraham. I don't like that, first of all. But, you know, the Mike Felger thing, is it the player or the contract? To me, you make evaluations. There's one of those guys that you should like better than the other. You shouldn't just say whatever one of them is willing to take the X.
And we don't know that they're saying that.
No, but it certainly seems like that. And I think that those two guys are going to other places, like Andy said, to see if they're going to offer more money.
Yeah, I'm not okay with that.
I'm not okay with that.
But if it's what Fred's selling and it's sort of a done deal and we'll just wait because you don't want to go to camp or you don't want to work out, I'm okay with that.
That would be fine, but I don't see the need to go and see what other teams are saying.
Well, that's why I don't believe that to be true, because I don't think John Abraham would have taken a flight from here to Denver.
But that
that's
was a
the
while
difference
ago.
Between
it was right after he left here, though.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. But now it's over. Now it's,
Fred,
you know.
They very well, one of those two very well could be here.
You're making.
But I don't. You see things that other people don't see. Let's just put it that
and
way.
And other people see things that I don't see. Everybody said that Welker looked like so great with his shirt off.
He looked a little flabby to me.
Yeah, or at the very least, very average.
Well, plus, he doesn't have, I mean, he's a small guy. He's not an impressive, it's not like.
Yeah, but
like,
little guys can be shredded.
No, but
little guys can be big.
Rob Gronkowski takes off his shirt and you look at it and you're like, whoa, that guy's put together.
Well, but that's because he's 6'6".
No,
there are
plenty
of guys that I've seen that are 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", who they take their shirt off and you're like, whoa. Like, there's a lot of those MMA guys that are, I always say, I hope I never run into one in a bar, because they look normal, and they take their shirt off, and they're shredded, and then they kick your ass.
Yeah, Kyle Larrington's one of those guys.
Yes,
Kyle
exactly.
Larrington's put together.
You can look like that, and he looks rocked.
Yeah.
Welker looks like, Joe Average white guy who runs a little bit. Not Paul-like, but.
No, but he looks like your friend.
I think he looked
pretty
good. Come on.
Well,
no, I
to
think
you,
it,
compared to you.
I agree with
I'm
Andy.
Not talking
think,
about how
he looked
like running
he
around.
Either.
I'm talking about like his body.
Right.
He looks like the guy that you hang out with that still cares and still takes care of himself.
Part of it is he's pale, so he looks like a guy in New England who did it. Who, you know, he hasn't been because tanning makes you look better just automatically. He just,
I'm getting uncomfortable with this conversation.
Why?
From the guy who played bumper
butts. Did you see the reports on the internet? Now, I want to say these are internet reports.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
Speaking of that,
it's more than kind of.
Photos were taken, and people are trying to speculate that Kerry Rhodes is going to be one of the four homosexual players that could come out. Because
good for him.
He's vacationing with his significant other, and all these photos are all over the internet and everything. But
whatever.
I think that's...
Oh, I'm fascinated.
Am I wrong to be...
Why do you whatever it?
Am
I
wrong to be excited about this?
You mean
it's like
glad,
the last
happy?
Frontier.
Well, yeah.
I'm happy if he does it and it's no big deal.
No, but
right.
Like that report that Brendan Iambadejo said that there's going to be four players that are going to come out together. I'm excited about that. I think it's a great step for sports.
When do they plan on doing this?
Supposedly, this is at some point
like
this
in the
offseason.
Talking, like
they're talking about it.
Having like a press conference or something? Or?
Well, that I kind of find weird, too.
Like, I don't know if they're all going to get together, but I think the idea is, you know,
if
there's more than one, it sort of deflects from the one person having
it's
to take
Spartacus
it all.
The thing.
Yeah.
I'm Spartacus.
I am Spartacus.
But I think it's funny, like, you have to have a press conference. Like, I'm gay.
Yeah.
Well, if it's just one person,
brown hair.
You do it in an interview, but if there's multiple people.
Right. And they'll probably do it. I could see it on the steps of some organization or, you know, pro-gay.
Some symbolic place.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But it's like, what are the questions? I mean, I guess the questions are, you know, how did you struggle with this? I guess it's that stuff.
What
it's,
made you decide
have
to
your teammates
this?
Known?
Yeah. It's just weird that it's, I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation to be in, I guess, if you're them. It's just me.
Yeah. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. A lot of emails coming in.
A lot of emails.
A lot of long emails. You know,
you don't care for that.
I just want to, set expectations that if I do get to these long ones, I probably won't read all of it.
I thought you liked long ones.
Not the way
you
do.
They start soft.
It's always on his mind.
No, you're the one who said you can't stop looking at crotches.
Let's go to Don in New Hampshire. Hey, Don.
Hi.
I
have a question, a statement and a question. Josh Barrett, who has not been re-signed, his stats are awesome. He's 6'2", 225 pounds, and he ran the 4.40 in 4.35. It seems to me that you know, we don't have a corner that's that fast, and he's big enough to play in pass downs as a linebacker. Why would he not be re-signed? I don't know any more about him than what I just told you.
So
there must be some reason they're not signing him.
Yeah, his measurables are intriguing, and I remember seeing him last year and saying, wow, let's see this guy in the field. And then when we saw him on the field, the limited amount, he didn't look that great.
He also gets hurt by tripping over a twig every year on the field.
I mean, we got him when he was hurt from Denver, and he's been hurt since he's
every
been
year.
Here.
He's going on IR.
Three straight years of IR, I believe, for
him. Became a starter in
2 years.
What was it 2011 or 10?
Or it might have been 11.
And played like the first three games and then IR.
Right.
He was IR when he got here.
He was their starter. He was their starter coming out after they had cut Sanders and Merriweather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that led to the year that was a debacle at the position, but he just can't stay healthy.
No. So that's the reason.
I'm really not happy forever with the Patriots' ability to cover passes across the in. The line, you know, slot receivers against them, they never seem to be able to block the passes. They're always tackling them after they make the catch. And it seemed to me he might be fast enough to be able to stay with any of those slot receivers.
Yeah, he looks much better on paper than he does on a field.
Yeah, he's a bigger safety. I think he could have helped maybe with some
tight ends. Maybe, yeah.
But you have they have added, Don, some safeties. I think, first of all, Tavon Wilson is a guy they're hoping for more out of. And they did sign Adrian Wilson to go with McCourty and Gregory. I think that's four safeties there last year that you probably feel like is better than the four you had last, because I think you replaced Chung with Adrian Wilson, and maybe you think that you've improved there. And then if McCourty is now full-time safety, maybe you feel like he might even be better than he was last year. So I think there's a possibility that you could have improved in that spot.
Some good Josh Barrett call, though. Thanks, Don.
Josh Barrett's an...
Yeah,
Eric and Andy are right. He was an intriguing guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he had what'd you say, on paper.
He looked great on paper.
Yeah.
But good guy, a lot of guys.
Good guy. You know, love the show.
Rossi Dowling looks pretty good on paper. He ends up every year
Rossi
on paper, IR.
Rossi Dowling never said anything about how good our show is. Josh Barrett did. There's a difference there. He loved our TV show.
Oh, that's right. I knew I liked Josh Barrett.
Orlando's in Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Hey, listen, I just had a quick question. I just tuned in, so I don't know if you guys already covered it, but they said, I guess, Denard got 30 days in jail, so they don't expect him to miss any time with us. Just kind of wanted to know if you guys thought that the either the team or the league, because he got in trouble, do you think that they might, you know, institute some time missed? You know, do you think they'll dock him for time?
The team will not. I don't think there's any chance in
Hades. Absolutely not.
I mean, the reports indicated Bill Belichick wrote a letter of recommendation or support that was read in court today as part of the hearing. We actually sadly didn't cover this to start the show, Orlando.
I thought we did mention
it.
No,
we did not mention
it. He was sentenced to 24 months of probation and 30 days of jail. That'll happen next March 30th, and he's given credit for, I think, 3 days. But basically all he's going to miss is potentially like 2 weeks of next year's off-season.
And I have a feeling if he is an upstanding citizen from now until then, the judge will waive.
And she said she would consider any of those, whatever they're called.
She's giving him a chance to.
Basically, I mean, she already did. She could have said, you know, that'll start August 1st or that'll start September 1st, your jail time. She gave him a very, very convenient jail time if he ever sees
it. Or could have had it start this Monday.
Right.
I mean, but even that, I mean, she could have, if she wanted to, bent over backwards to punish him. And to me, the way you do that is August, September. You take him away from his employment
she
for the worst possible.
She took the starting date that could not possibly be any better.
Right. I mean, I guess the best could be March 15th next year, so he gets out the day the offseason
or
program
March 1st.
Starts or something. Yeah.
After the playoffs, Super Bowl, before
well,
the
season. But I think this gets March 1st for 30 days. He doesn't miss a thing.
Offseason program.
Well, March 1st to March 31st,
I mean. He could have gotten a little less than he got.
I thought it was March 30th, you said.
Next year is March 30th.
So I think it was March 1st, 2014, he starts his thing.
Oh, I read March 30th.
Okay, then we have to change that.
You guys see him and Tlaib starting at the corner spots when we go into the season, correct? Just like last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right now.
Excellent.
So kept your starting corner, who you somehow could have lost, and it gives more value to your pick of him, because that was the discussion of him. You know, the guy has this pending hearing and charge, and, you know, some teams probably were scared of that. And, you know, I know reading the tweets from Shalice Manza-Young of the Globe, who was there today sort of live tweeting, you know, everybody, him, Belichick, Bo Pelini, the emphasis was he's never been in trouble before. This was, you know, a bad 5 minutes of his life that was just a mistake, and he apologized to everybody. And, you know, theoretically, you got off easy, as did the player, in terms of not losing it.
Yep.
Great. Well, I'm definitely glad he's back. Hey, Fred, man, I heard you talking about House of Cards a couple of shows back, man.
Yep.
To answer your question, man, the British version is based on the book. They're both based on the book. You know what I mean? I guess it was a book that came out. The British version is based on the book, and then the American version is based on the British version.
Okay.
But man, it's a really good show, man. And if you think Kevin Spacey's pretty bad on the House of Cards, man, you got to see the English version. That dude's a straight gangster.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's definitely good.
All right.
Take care, fellas.
Thanks, Orlando. I'll tell you, Kevin Spacey can play a mean bad guy. You ever see Seven?
He's very good in
that movie.
The
serial
killer?
Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
He was scary in that one. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Just looking at the email keeps...
I called IT, Fred. They're resetting something. Oh. So they said it should get better within the next 10
minutes.
Oh,
let's do that in the middle of the day.
It's lunchtime, I guess.
Yeah.
So mine's funny, too, so it's not just you.
We did have an email from a doctor from BU who offered to call in about Gronk's infection. I thank him for the offer. We're not going to do that. But Arthur Theodore, MD, over at the BU
Any
School of Medicine.
Doogie Howser, MD?
Well, no, not all doctors are related to Doogie Howser.
Not even fictional ones?
No. But I do want to thank him for that. I don't think we want to get into, like, you know, the whole Gronkowski medical thing. But we did have a Gronkowski spotting by Travis from Jacksonville, where was he? He was down in a bar somewhere. And
by the way, the league is saying that they will review the Dennard case. There's no determination has been made yet. And Andy brings up a point about that. I mean, you could see an argument to be made for Goodell if he decided to impose some sort of suspension in that. Once you enter the draft in that process, you know, you go to the combine, you're not part of the NFL. You're not part of a team yet, but you are part of the NFL at large. And I think that your conduct sort of, you could make an argument, is damaging the shield.
Right.
You know, once that process goes, I don't think he'll be suspended. I think that they probably look at this as a done deal. He kind of got a slap in the wrist with a 30-day jail sentence. I don't anticipate him getting disciplined by Goodell. But I could definitely see the argument to be made for that. And without question, the Greg Bedards of the world that are saying they would immediately have a fight on their hands are right. I think the NFL PA would absolutely take it to the wall and appeal that.
Anyway,
have you ever thought about going to jail?
No.
Even for 30 days.
Yeah, I've thought about it.
What would you...
It would drive me crazy. I would hate it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it should be.
No, I know, but like we're just saying, like he got off with as good of, you know, he's right. going, but he's going to jail for 30 days.
30 days is a lot of time in a cell.
Like I can't, I mean, even just think about if you couldn't leave your bedroom for 30 days. That would be weird and suck and just different. And this is, now I'm assuming it's a low level wherever he's going to go, but your mind starts racing. Like you see these scenes in like Shawshank Redemption where you're getting your teeth kicked in and like things way worse than that. Yeah. Like, you celebrate that, oh, I only got 30 days, but in your head somewhere, your mind has to be saying, I'm going to jail for 30 days.
And just to clear, Shalice, who, as Andy said, was there, she says March 1st, 2014. Oh. That's where I was taking my information that I put in the blog.
The one I saw was
then,
March
30th. Then he gets, that's
then
the perfect
time.
He gets
nothing. He gets absolutely
nothing. That's what I said. I don't think you could possibly have handpicked a date that's any better than that.
You couldn't, if that's right.
That's
then
pretty favorable.
Except, as I just said, he's going to jail.
Anyway, Travis and Jackson.
Well, Bubba's going to meet him at the door.
There's that jail thing that, you know, sort of a detriment.
Fred's mad. Stop talking.
I just want to talk about the Gronk spotting.
Okay.
Travis
and Jackson.
We don't
want to talk about the
news
you know,
of the day.
We don't want to talk about the infection.
Said he was in a beach bar in Jacksonville, and he was there for about an hour when he heard a girl scream. He turned around.
He knew Fred Kirsch was there.
And it was his buddy who was screaming, not a girl. anyway, Rob came in with his entourage, and about 95% of the ladies, according to Travis, flocked to him. And he was
there. And, lesbians.
You know, having a good time, we shall say. he signed Travis's shirt, imbibed a little bit, and Travis said his arm was wrapped up, but he had no problem using it to imbibe.
What do they call them, 12-ounce curls?
Yeah, so there's a sighting in Jacksonville.
What the hell is he doing in Jacksonville?
I know.
Yeah, good question.
I've been there. I wouldn't want to be again.
Yeah.
I mean, the Tampa is where he built his house, down there somewhere in the area of Tampa.
No, or I thought it was, right, Tampa. Right.
No, I thought
no,
it was,
I thought
it, no,
oh,
yeah, you're
Tampa.
Right.
Yeah.
So Gronk is... okay to party.
So Doug in Oregon says, if it's going to be a thing for Gronk to miss a part of the season because of injury, then I'd much rather have him miss the first part of it and then be available for the later and on into the playoffs. Let's develop the other offensive weapons at the beginning and bring Gronk into it later, and we'll be set offensively for great things next year.
Yeah, we thought that too at the end of last year. Like, well, at least he broke his arm in November and he's got time for the playoffs, and then look what happened.
And then he broke it again. Yeah. He got infected.
Got rushed back.
Never played again.
Got infected again.
That's a great theory. Sure. You'd obviously rather he misses four games in September than four games in December, January.
Right.
But the other problem I would ask is, what other weapons? This is where I get back to. Gronk is the main weapon, first of all. And there's no arguing that. Whatever you think of Sanders, and Gronk is the main weapon of this offense now. You know, Hernandez to me doesn't have an argument. Even if he catches 100 balls, Gronk is the weapon.
I would agree.
Of them, you know, he's the sun. The rest of them are the planets just circulating around him.
They are the moon.
They
are. You are the words.
It's like Andy's head.
Yeah. As long as Gronk is healthy, I think they have enough. If he's not healthy, I think they have to do something.
Ballard.
Because
he's basically Gronk.
I feel with Gronk and Hernandez, coupled with the combination of Amendola, I'm going to say Sanders for now, Jones, Edelman. I think you have enough. I think that's enough.
Farine.
Yeah.
He factors in, sure.
Yeah, he does factor in.
He does, but
you're
if
right.
you factor him in, I think you also have to factor Woodhead's 40 receptions leaving in.
To me,
Vereen, as much as I love him, is still more of a question than Danny Woodhead was for this team. They had become comfortable with what he was, and he caught 40 passes.
I guess,
but
maybe you'll have drive starts, you know, further than the 20-yard line.
Yes, there's a lot of maybes. There are a lot of – Fred, I'm not trying to say everything
sucks.
So now
it's Leon Washington is the difference.
But you know what? Not everything's going to be positive either. Maybe Gronk is healthy. Maybe Hernandez isn't. Maybe Sanders is great, but Amendola gets hurt. Maybe Vereen is great, but Washington sucks on kickoffs. In most, you're usually going to go 50-50. If something's a question, usually you're going to end up 50-50, right? It's rare that they all go crappy or they all go great.
Right, and that's why we were talking about how good the defense could be. If, you know, I think someone on Tuesday said, you know, if three of the five rookies make an enormous year two jump, well, that's probably not going to happen.
I know, but think about where we came from. You know, we thought going into last year that they would have a great offense. Well, they still had a... You know,
they did.
They had the highest scoring offense.
And according to Andy Hart, Hernandez had a terrible season.
Correct.
Brandon Lloyd did not do what we thought he was going to do.
Correct.
So again, I think that...
And you can make an argument that you're worse than that now.
No, I think that you'll end up at least being there, if not better.
I would.
I don't know how you can say that. I mean, I'm optimistic that they have enough with the two tight ends and that group of wide receivers. But I don't know how you can just blanket statement say, you lost Welker, you lost Lloyd, who... Right, wrong, or indifferent, caught 70-something passes, and you're better. I don't know how you can say that.
Fred can.
Oh. Wait,
I said at least as good, if not better.
Well, why? I mean, can we talk about it?
So wait, you were concerned last year, but not concerned now. To start last year, you were concerned about the offensive weapons.
Sure.
So you're not now.
I have the same concern going in as I had last year. That's my point. That, you know, these guys catch on. But I had that concern last year.
But wait, you have to worry about more guys.
No, but what was your concern last year? That who catches on?
I forget last year. I think we were talking about also including the running game. We included everything. Right?
My concern would be the health.
You can include anything you want. I think you have less certainties when you remove a 120-catch guy like Welker.
My concern is health. I have concerns with Gronkowski, Hernandez, and Amendola being able to stay healthy. If they all stay healthy... I think you can be as good as last year.
Probably.
If they don't, I don't think you will be anywhere near as good as last year.
I'm not quite as certain as he is because I'm not just going to say Amendola is going to catch 100 balls. I knew Welker for five straight years. No, I know, but to me it's less certain than it was last year.
Well, I don't know how you can say Amendola is as sure a thing as Welker.
I don't know how you can say that.
The most optimistic guy, I don't know how I can say that.
I thought Brandon Lloyd was an utter disaster. But he had a better track record coming in. He had 1,400 yards in a season.
Well, that's my question.
None of these guys, I mean, hell, add up all these guys' careers, I don't think you can get to 1,400 yards.
I want to piggyback on what Andy just said. Do you feel better about Emmanuel Sanders than Brandon Lloyd or Donald Jones than Brandon Lloyd?
Knowing now going in, no. I mean, I had high hopes for Brandon Lloyd.
No. Right now, what you?
Yes, I feel they'll be just as good.
So you feel a guy who
guys.
Has a career high of 44 yeah. catches is better than the
with,
guy who caught 70 something for
offense,
you last year?
I have just as I feel just as good with these guys as what I now know
so that's,
about Brandon.
So that's
Lloyd.
Why you feel like they can be better. That's what I was asking you. I want you to explain why you feel better about Sanders than Lloyd. I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't know if I necessarily agree with it, but I think that's. I didn't think much of Lloyd, so I think that one of these guys can come in, and if they get the ball thrown to him 150 times, we'll catch 70-something,
too. That's what I want to bring up. I don't think they'll get the thrown to him, and Brandon Lloyd was the person who told us that. My credibility was Josh McDaniels. I don't think that Emmanuel Sanders or Donald Jones will get the amount of rope to work with that Brandon Lloyd got to work with. Therefore, when they screw up and drop balls and don't be where Brady wants them to be in the early in the year, they go away. So you don't end up forcing it and building up those somewhat fraudulent numbers
they
of
get
70
Ocho.
Catches. Right. Now all of a sudden you're Ocho, and in your first year with the Patriots you caught 20 passes and were an utter disappointment. So
that could happen.
Did you hear Jason Cole talking about that today, Andy? No. I know you heard bits and pieces, but he took a shot at Josh McDaniels when he talked about, you know, the Brandon Lloyd situation, and he said that was Josh McDaniels. And they took his recommendation and they wanted to have him, and he didn't come out. He didn't turn out to be what they thought he could be. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic if what Andy just described happens.
Right.
Because I listen, Ocho Cinco was an unmitigated disaster. I'm not trying to defend what he did 2 years ago. He did nothing. But I think if you just sat there and you said in the first month of the season, come hell or high water, I'm going to throw the ball 6, 7, 8 times a game to Chad Ochocinco, that he would have ended up the season catching 70 passes.
Right.
He would have made no plays, just like Brandon Lloyd made no plays.
Right.
But I think that, as Brandon Lloyd said in that press conference during the playoffs, Josh McDaniels was his validation. And I think that forced Brady to throw the ball to Brandon Lloyd. We were not going to go down that road again.
And was the team better for it or worse off for it? That, you know, were they better off forcing it to him, or should they have not done that?
In retrospect, Fred, you were right to be worried about the amount of depth they had because the tight ends got hurt and they were out.
Right. I was going to say, what's the option?
Yeah,
I think they could have been better, but they didn't have a better option to turn to. Had Edelman been healthy, maybe they would have gone a different way, but...
I'll Hernandez, throw him into my
Edelman,
health
Gronk,
thing.
All hurt.
I think they were forcing the ball long before injuries came, you know, the situation.
No, but early in the year.
I disagree. I think that
the second
game of the year, Hernandez went hurt.
No, yeah, but they clearly were going to force him the ball through the first month plus.
Yeah, but not
and
like
then
they did
I
over
don't
that
think
next.
You had no other choices to turn to. Everybody was hurt. You had your bed and you need to sleep.
Yeah,
in
when
it.
You right. got to late September, early October is when the 10 targets for 3 catches started happening for Brandon Lloyd.
No, I know, but they had nothing to turn to.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. I think that.
Well, that's what
maybe,
I'm saying,
because
he's saying
where
they have been better off not doing that. Well, what's just handed to Ridley 7 more times a game? You didn't have anybody else to throw to.
Yeah, and I would add Edelman. Andy, you just brought up Edelman again. I add him to my list of three guys if they stay healthy. I think Edelman can be a reasonably productive guy if he stays healthy, right. But that's a huge if.
So we're basically to the exact opposite of what we have come used to. The passing game was a certainty if the offensive line and the running game. Well, now we have the returning offensive line and the running game you think is going to be similar with Ridley and Vereen. You just have questions about who's going to catch the passes in the passing game.
LT from Adelaide says, I love the interview with Gerard Mayo last Thursday. In all honesty, I thought that the star of the interview was Mr. Zero to Hutt himself, Paul Perillo. I was re-listening to last year's draft podcast, and I think it is time for some listener on host crime. Please do not be offended. Let's first get to Mr. Eric Scalavino. His reaction to the Patriots drafting Chandler Jones last year was pure hilarity. I know he wanted the Patriots to draft Whitney Mercilus, but his personal feelings got in the way of true analysis, and he sounded like Paul getting a free lunch at Skipjack's. His reaction to the drafting of Tavon Wilson then took it to a whole new level. He basically shut down and felt personally insulted before the guy had even taken the field. Mr. Andy Hart was shocked that Wilson wasn't listed in Nolan Araki's book, then proceeded to call Wilson a small safety/corner, 5'11", I believe, at the time, which contradicts what he currently says about the guy now. So I'm confused. Is Tavon Wilson a big-in-the-box type safety or a rangy ball-hawking type safety? The final classic line came
from... He's not a ball-hawking type safety. He might be rangy, but he's not a ball-hawking type
safety. The final classic line from those shows were that Jake Beckett will be an impact pass rusher in 2012. I mean, who else can fill out a uniform and not be active as well as he can? So where do you guys rank your PFW draft analysis from last year? PFW check.
Well, spot on.
I actually like the being called on the carpet stuff, but why does everybody get painted with the same brush? I thought nothing of Jake Beckett.
Paul was right. Check.
I thought nothing of Tavon. I thought nothing of Tavon Wilson and was proven right.
See, I told you we were all right.
Well, he did nothing.
And I don't, you know, I'll take your word for it. I don't remember Eric being ridiculously negative toward Chandler Jones.
No, Tavon Wilson.
Maybe. I'll take your word for it.
I remember that Eric.
Just because you like Whitney Mercilus doesn't mean you don't like Chandler Jones.
By the time the second round came, you had given up.
No, listen, Eric went off on Tavon Wilson, and I don't necessarily disagree. I thought that was a questionable pick, but just because you like Whitney Mercilus doesn't mean you didn't like Chandler Jones. We actually predicted the Patriots to take Chandler Jones in the first round. If we were going to give out check marks, that was our pick,
and I think we assumed that. Whitney
Am I wrong on that?
Already
no,
because
no, no,
Fred, what do you hear every year at draft time? Nobody knows what Bill Belichick's going
to do.
But I don't know, 4 times now in the last 8 years, we've nailed the first round pick. Ty Warren, Lawrence Maroney, Brandon Merriweather, and now Chandler Jones.
Good stuff. In all seriousness, though, says LT, you guys do an amazing job of keeping me entertained from Fred slandering Eric Lee. Fred changing Wilfork's name to Welker, then saying that he said the word beneficiary and not Welker, was classic PFW at its best.
Now that's a good check.
Work. I appreciate it all the way from down under.
Good job. Good job. I do like getting called on the carpet, buddy.
The only other, I can tell you, yelled at the guy. The only other defense I have myself is, yeah, I thought on paper, because we didn't know Tavon Wilson at all. That was sort of my point with the Naraki thing. We drafted a guy in the second round who, you know, was sort of off the radar.
Shouldn't have been drafted.
That's what Eric kept saying.
Well, he shouldn't have been.
And I just assumed, okay, the guy started at corner and safety. You know, you're going to have this coverage guy. And then I realized he can't cover. And I look at him as big. You know, maybe I'm – and he did grow an inch. If he was listed as 5'11 now, he's now listed at 6 feet. And he's pretty thick up top. I don't – you know, I'm bad at comparing weight sometimes. You know, Rodney Harrison compared to so-and-so. But to me, Tavon Wilson in the Patriots secondary – until I see Adrian Wilson, is the biggest guy. He's pretty thick. And since I know he can't cover, I'm hoping he develops into an in-the-box safety because they've already started using him there. If he doesn't do that, then we get back to Eric. He should have never been drafted.
Brian in Boston has done some extensive research. He says, following the Sanders news yesterday, Perillo tweeted out that the Steelers' decision to match would not come down to money in the salary cap situation. However, after some research, it appears that the money will be the deciding factor in this instance. And he goes down the line about how much the Steelers will need for the rookie pool and all this stuff, the wage system that they've the new CBA implemented, so on and so forth. And at the end, he says, when added together, the total rookie cap hit for the Steelers will be about $2.91 million. However, as mentioned above, the team would only have $740,000 in cap space if they choose to match the offer and keep Sanders. In this scenario, they would have to free up another $2.16 million to simply sign their draft picks. That is a good deal of money for a team that has already let go multiple key players to get the cap number down that low. And given the fact that Belichick was shrewd enough to only offer a one-year deal, the Steelers cannot spread the money out. So,
all right. Can I attack that?
If you like.
I retweeted Adam Schefter, who said this will be a strict philosophical decision for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not a money one. Number one.
So then he disagrees with Schefter, not you.
No. Well, I happen to wholeheartedly agree with Schefter. Also, there is news today that Pittsburgh is planning on offering Ahmad Bradshaw $2 to $3 million. Well, it's funny. They don't have any cap space. I don't know how they're doing that.
Is that a one-year deal?
I don't know how they're doing that.
Is it
if they don't have any cap space.
Well,
listen, I say this all the time. When you make your decisions, it's who you want to keep and who you don't care about losing. If the Pittsburgh Steelers wanted James Harrison on their team, he would be there. James Harrison went back on his knees saying that he would take less money. They said no thanks. James Harrison's still out of work, by the way, visiting with the Bengals today. This is not a cap-related issue. There's cap money to fit a receiver that you think is worth it for $2.5 million. They're weighing that against the third-round pick. Yep. That's the decision.
Where do they want to spend their money?
Do they want a third-round pick that they feel like they can do the same work for $700,000, or do they want a wide receiver that is on a $2.5 million contract? This is not cap-related. If they had $15 million in cap space, I'm not sure it would be any different. They're deciding whether or not Emmanuel Sanders is worth it. Originally, everybody in Pittsburgh was saying they would match this no problem. Now a lot of people in Pittsburgh are saying, take him. We don't need this guy. I don't know what the truth is. I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to do. But I don't think it's going to have anything to do with the cap.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now is eat a little lunch. And when we come back, we'll get to more of your calls and emails here in PFW in Progress.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC. Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
Oh, my God.
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Andy, Paul, Eric, Fred, Kevin's in the booth. We're all here today. Talking Patriots, a flurry of signings as promised at the owners' conference. Bill Belichick said there'll probably be another round of signings. Tommy Kelly, Julian Edelman, an offer made to Emmanuel Sanders, which we'll know by Sunday.
Thought it was Monday.
Well, it's
they have Sunday. I know Bert Breer said it was Sunday at 11:59.
Oh,
I
so
assumed everything happened Sunday
basically,
at 4, but I always thought it was 4 p.m. in the NFL. Maybe that's changed.
Except on the weekend.
Maybe. I don't know. But it's 5 days from, you know, they have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are their 5 days to decide.
So we'll know then. And, of course, John Abraham just waiting in the wings.
But according to your theory, we're going to wait until mid-August till we hear that.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So you're not worried. If we go to camp without a veteran pass rusher, you're okay because you're just going to assume.
Right.
Okay. Unless, of course, he signs with another team.
The longer this goes
on... Will you then be worried?
Yes. The longer this goes on without the Patriots doing something in that area, the more I know I'm right.
Until he signs with another team. Now, if he signs with another team, will you just assume it's Freeney that has that deal?
No.
Oh.
No. Then I'm worried.
Interesting. Why?
You don't like Freeney as much?
I don't, but I'm more concerned with what they think, and I don't think they would. I don't think they would take Freeney.
Okay, so if Abraham signs, it's concerning, even if Freeney's still available.
Yes, yes.
Because Andre Carter also signed. You know, he could have been one of those like real fallback options.
Yeah.
Just mark me down that if Abraham signs with another team, Fred will not be worried.
You know what it'll turn to? Jake Beckett, you know, really, he's an unknown. He did nothing last year. He could be a big impact guy.
Don't sleep on Justin Francis.
Right. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. Ed's worried about something. It's Gerard Mayo. He says, is Mayo doomed now that he's appeared on the PFW radio show?
No.
Wasn't this the kiss of death for Patriots players?
No, he has avoided the kiss of death. For right. a lot of others, it has.
Once you get past that first hurdle, you're good.
And yeah,
you can
a lot
come
of others.
Any time you want. That's the rule.
Have ended up cut or injured, but he is a guy that has avoided it. He had a very good year last year.
Yep.
And Trevor Scott was on here. He was on the team last year.
Yep. Yep. So some have made it through.
But others, you know, it was a little less. And some guys have thrived. I mean, Wes Welker.
Wes Welker was on very early in his career,
right.
too.
Matt Cassel turned it into a starting gig and $60 million. So
that was year two, right?
Some would argue that we've made players, you know, somewhere north of $100 million by appearing on this program.
Yeah, now we do have, you know, Will Allen last year, Daniel Fells in the past, Alex Smith, the tight end that was here and never really made it. So we've had a couple of missteps.
What's his name? The young linebacker who blew his ACL out like right after?
Richard
Tyrone
Seymour.
Oh, yeah.
Tyrone McKenzie.
No, not Richard Seymour.
No, I'm saying we've had Richard Seymour on, and then he got traded.
Oh, well.
Right? Wasn't that the same year?
We had him on a lot.
But I don't think that was the same year.
I think it was.
The golf tournament.
The golf tournament in June, and then I think we traded him like a month and a half later.
Yeah.
And he was talking about
the stimulus package.
Yeah, stimulus package.
That's why I think it was the same year.
Yep.
Maybe they heard that interview, him talking about the stimulus package, and they said, we got to get rid of this.
Mark writes in, hypothetically, let's say the Patriots trade away Mallett to the Browns. Would you feel more comfortable bringing in a guy like Jamarcus Russell?
No.
Granted, he continues to train and lose weight, or are you more comfortable drafting a guy like Tyler Bray in the mid-rounds with a pick they would inevitably receive from trading back for Mallett?
I don't like Bray, but I hate Russell. So,
players with the initials TB have worked for the Patriots in the past: Troy Brown, Teddy Bruschi, and of course Tom Brady. So that's why he likes Tyler Bray.
So no one has ever sucked with the initials TB in New England.
Sure, we could find one, but this brings up the larger point that I've heard a lot of people talking about. You know, if the Patriots do indeed want to collect more picks for this year, the best way to do that would be to trade Mallett. Do you think there's any market out there for him?
No.
You don't?
Well, unless Mike Lombardi really wants him, like he said.
Yeah, I know. I don't see that happening. I mean, they're not set at quarterback, so they may very well have their backup quarterback, and his name may be Whedon. They traded McCoy. I mean, plus, it makes no sense. What the Patriots would only trade. The Patriots have invested two seasons in him. They drafted him in the third round. So for that investment, if you're the Patriots, you were comfortable with him being your backup last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be given something to say, I'm going to take a step back at backup quarterback. Something can only be more than a third round pick or a player.
Third round at worst.
Right.
Yeah.
And no one's going to do that. So I just don't see a way a trade could happen. Unless they hate him and just want to unload him, and they'll take a fifth-round pick. But you would think, based on everything Bill has said and the fact that he was their lone backup last year, that they are at least comfortable with him being the backup.
All right. Email's
but
down
But there's
again.
Other ways. Yeah, I noticed. There's other – and it's affecting me now, too. My phone's not working, so I'm not laughing at you anymore. There's other ways.
Try turning the phone off.
I did.
It doesn't work.
It
doesn't work still.
Nope.
So –
all right, let's go to the phones. Thank goodness.
Do those
There's
still
a
work?
A lot of phone calls. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
You hanging out with Welcher?
Nope. I'm over here cleaning up my 2013 Camaro. I just got Monday.
You just got a new Camaro?
Congratulations.
Okay. What color?
Black on black, tinted windows, everything, all the kits with it. All
That's pretty sick.
Most important, how's the sound
y'all
system?
Go to Charlotte, I'll take you out to lunch.
All right.
That's pretty sick car.
Patches, I'm gonna be there.
That's awesome. You burn rubber with it yet?
No, I almost got a ticket the other day, but I had to slow down real quick. Like.
Oh, yeah. If it's black with tinted windows, you are just asking to be pulled over.
I had a friend with a yellow Firebird with the plates, catch me. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah, they did. He
They can always catch you because they are everywhere. They have little things they call ahead to the next guy.
How's the sound system, Eldred? That's the most important thing.
Oh, it's all right except for one thing. I thought it came from a Durham CD player, but it's XM radio, Cyrus, and it got all the things I want with it, but it don't have no CD player.
You don't need a CD player. You just plug in your iPhone.
Cars don't come with CD players
anymore? No, a lot don't.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't have a lot of music on my iPhone. I got a lot of, like I said, I DJ sometimes part-time when I'm at home. So I got a lot of
CDs. Nobody uses CDs anymore, Eldridge. That's a thing of the past.
People do. Old school do. But anyway.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Question. Paul, Eric.
Yeah.
If you go to Samsonite, make your case. Patriots 1287 is me. I blast y'all that question y'all brought up about T.O. and Moss. You know, dealing with the current receiver status that we got right now, either one of them be a welcome condition. Either one of them. Because Jenkins, Jones, they ain't going to make it through training camp, I don't think. Now, they might keep Jones, but they're just too slow. You know, and if Grump or get set back for the season, we hurt.
Yeah, neither of those two guys is much better, though.
No, neither one. Oh, Moss
or T.O.?
Okay, y'all still going on past experience, and he's old, right? Y'all going on 36, right?
We've seen what he can't do anymore. Yeah, we know what he's capable of.
One of them hasn't played in the league in 3 years, or 2 years, 2+ years, and the other only made plays against us.
Only plays against us.
Yeah.
But
according to the draft picks, if they trade Mallett, man, we hurt. I don't like that idea either because we ain't got a backup. And I think Mallett was going to be greatest success. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think you're crazy.
You think I'm crazy?
I think he's shown nothing to lead you to believe that. The quarterback of the future, I don't know where he is. He's not here. I think there's a better chance Kafka could be the quarterback of the future than Mallett. I am down on Mallett.
That's what I think. I think he's down on Mallett for some reason. I don't know. But I think...
Because he can't throw where he wants it to go.
Throw where he wants it to go.
I think he'd be good in your dream offense. It's funny. If you put together a team with a bunch of deep threats and Mallett and just threw the ball deep, I think you'd have a chance. But what the Patriots kind of like and want to do, I'm not sure Mallett's a good fit.
I think that hasn't the whole Mallett as successor kind of – isn't that a moot point now? And Brady's here for at least 5 more years.
No, not necessarily.
No?
You still need a good backup just in case 08 happens again.
By the time Brady's ready to go, if Mallett's still sitting here, then –
But how do you know that it's going to be 5 years?
Well, could be two. Could be three.
Yeah,
it could be like Aaron Rodgers.
If Mallett is, in fact, the – successor, then yes, there will be some down years after Tom Brady leaves.
Well, if Joe Montana's second coming is the successor, there's going to be down years. You're going to have down years. You're going to go down from Brady. I'm sorry. That's going to happen.
If it's the next Joe Montana?
You're going to go down because he's going to be young. He's going to be the young third-round pick. He's going to be a little development phase.
For a year or two. But
I said some down years. That's two.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, a down era.
I'm not sold there's going to be a down era, but the immediate future, a couple years after, is going to be down at the quarterback position.
But I'm willing to, live with that as long as you know that the guy in place is, the guy that can lead you out of
that. But no one knows that until you go through it. No one.
But I think the Colts know that, right?
Well, they didn't know that not too long ago.
They took a gamble on the guy.
And it worked out.
And it did work out, yeah.
But, I mean, that's also a unique situation. The whole world's named Andrew Luck.
What if they had drafted Ryan Leaf?
Right.
Instead of Peyton Manning.
Nope.
Yeah, that Ryan Leaf was a number one overall pick possibility, and everybody in the world was wrong because he was a whack job drug addict problem.
Yeah, right off the bat, Let me ask you one more question. If we, I think Paul or Andy keep on Williams, that Terrence Williams guy for receiver.
You should like
if
him.
I don't like him.
You are never happy. All you want is Moss and T.O. circa 1998.
I have one of them, but like I said, a young one. I like that Justin Hunter or that Rogers guy out of Tennessee.
So you only like troubled receivers. You don't like guys that are decent people.
No, I like guys that are decent people, but I know, according to the report, Williams won't fight for the ball. Falls down a lot and can't beat the press cover unless he's running hard. You know what I mean? If they ain't pressing.
First of all, there's no receivers in college football that beat press coverage because there's no press coverage. Not with any regularity. Terrence Williams, none of them are perfect. Some of them are going to be good, some are going to stink. Terrence Williams may stink. But you seem to really like the problem child diva receiver type.
I like the problem child diva. I'm just looking at the size, speed, and hands that really can catch and hang on. Everybody does have problems every now and then. But you can't. But like I said, some of them might overgrow, some of them might not. You know, that's just the way it is. You overcome them or you don't. But they're a whole lot better than William.
We'll find out. Like, want to bet a lunch on it?
I'm getting emails.
I bet you two lunches on it. But my question is, do I got to fly to New England to give it to you, or do you got to come when you come here?
No, you can give me a ride in your new black-on-black
Camaro.
All right, Aldridge, I'm down with that. When I get down to Charlotte, I am definitely going to take a ride.
That's a cool car.
You could take Eric and Eric.
All right,
and Fred
thanks for the call, Aldridge.
Thanks, Aldridge.
Eric could be in the back seat screaming as he.
Let's see. Josh is in Charlottesville, Virginia. Hey, Josh.
UVA.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
Not much, man. A couple questions for y'all. With Alfonso Dinard today getting 30 days in jail, how do you think that is going to affect the Patriots in the draft, man? I mean, do you think that they're going to maybe try to go for one in the second or third since there's good depth or whatnot? I mean, with the signing of, Kelly and whatnot, and how Bryce Callie is on the defensive line, do you think they could maybe line up opposite Chandler Jones or something like that from here and there and maybe go after a wide out in the corner in the first and second round?
Well, I think that Dennard's sentence has nothing to do with the draft. If the Patriots draft a cornerback, which they could, it would have nothing to do with Dennard's sentence because that's next year in the offseason. You know, he's going to play football this year. So, but they still, that doesn't mean they won't draft a corner. They still could. But I think, you know, they knew going in when they drafted Dennard that this could be the situation or worse, and they did it anyway. And I think if you're the Patriots, you're happy with this outcome.
Right. What if the league even suspends him for a few games and whatnot? Man, we need him back in the secondary.
Yeah, there's no way that's happening. No way.
That's fantastic. Anyway, who would you rather have on the team, Kenny Stills or Derek Rogers? I think Derek is more of a diva, but if they could get Kenny Stills, I mean, earlier on, I don't count on Emmanuel Sanders playing the sticks to the team. I mean, with all the dead money and Troy Palmer's contract and half the coach that Mike Tomlin is, man, I mean, they're not going to want to lose Emmanuel Sanders in their right mind. They're not going to let that happen.
Not according to everybody in Pittsburgh. Ed Bousset, I was saying earlier, he covered the team for many, many years. He says, you know, they should not even think twice about letting him go. And so, you know, he knows more than I do.
Yeah, he may not be that good, but, I mean, are they really going to leave up to Plaxico, Burress, and what's his face with all the knees on that team? They got to address the draft already.
Well, they need a running back, too.
Yes, they do.
You know?
I heard they're meeting up with Bradshaw again sometime this week. So that's always a possibility. But that's all I got for you today, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Right. Good call.
I think the demise of the Steelers is greatly overstated. Let's put it that way. I think if Roethlisberger didn't get hurt last year, they would have been right in the mix and come playoff time. They plugged in about 17 different running backs last year, and every one of them was Jonathan Dwyer, for all the crap that Andy and I give you about your affinity for
like
Jonathan
Dwyer.
He rattled off a couple of 100-yard games in the middle of the year. I mean, they can go out and get Ahmad Bradshaw if they want. I don't think that's like a must-have for them to be viable. They're thin at wide receiver. If they lose Sanders and Wallace, and now you have Antonio Brown and an aging Plaxico Burress, that's not ideal. They need more than that.
But what about, you know, their defense, the outside linebacker? Right now, you know, the guy that they
played without him last year.
The guy that they have, you know, plugged in to be the starter, I think he's been on the team for 3 years and was drafted pretty high and never could make it. You know, so and this
Who's
is all.
I forget. Because Harrison name. Didn't play much last year.
Yeah, I forget his name.
Isn't it the guy with the weird name Worlds?
Jason Worlds.
Yeah, exactly.
He played last year.
Yeah, but they don't. They're not that high in him. They're thinking that
they might
they
not
have
be
to
higher
through the draft this year for their.
But that's what they do.
I know, but
they do it like the Patriots do. They don't go out and sign a lot of free agents. Yeah. They look to get draft picks.
But there's a lot of
young
ifs.
Guys.
There's a lot of ifs on that team. So if
I don't think there are.
If you're going to say there's a lot of ifs on the Patriots,
I don't think there are a lot of ifs on the Patriots.
Oh. I think there are a lot of ifs on both teams.
Okay.
I don't think there are a lot of ifs on the Patriots.
I think
you can pencil
like
in
most teams because they have Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin, and the Patriots have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. They will be fine.
Yeah.
Whether they'll be great or not
is
the variance. But the teams that have all the questions and don't have a coach and quarterback suck.
Well, yeah.
The difference to me is the Patriots know that they're in a bad division and they're going to win 12 games, whereas Pittsburgh is in a hard division and they might only win 10. That's the difference.
Mike Tomlin on the competition committee now. Random note.
Oh, okay.
Just elected this
week. Was that accurate that the competition committee decided about the camera thing? That's how it was reported.
The cameras in the locker room?
I don't know.
Regardless of
whose idea it was, or who I would want the competition committee to weigh in.
Whether there's a
Yeah, but, competitive disadvantage.
Yeah, the thing
or
that I saw made it sound like it was their idea.
Yeah, I don't know if it's their idea.
Because that's stupid.
Let's have an idea that makes our job more complicated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny if you think about it that way. Well, it's an idea that would make their job more complicated.
Right. Yeah, I've PFW's out. I've written what I'm going to write about that.
PFW is out.
And the cover.
Has
a Superman tearing a Belichick hoodie, revealing the draft logo. And is that actually you, Andy?
It is my pectorals.
Yeah. And I heard that you were going to expense the hoodie, but now that you like the way it looks when you're not wearing a shirt under it, you're going to just keep the hoodie and wear it.
No, I'll be expensing it.
You're going to wear it at the gym, I heard?
No, I'll be expensing it. I may see if my wife can sew it back together, but I'll still be expensing it.
let's see. Olivier.
Anybody have Red Sox tickets they can give me for Saturday?
No, Olivier's in Virginia.
Four.
What's going on,
hey,
Olivier?
This is Olivier from Lansdowne, Virginia. How are you?
Good.
Hey, excellent. I was just calling to see if you guys wanted to have a ride in my car as well.
What kind of car you got?
I have an M3 convertible.
I don't even know what an M3
is. That's a BMW.
What, are you rich? Why haven't you bought lunch recently?
Our listeners are quite affluent.
Yeah.
Yes, we are very
We're the only ones that don't have – well, Fred has. But
Fred
three
has.
Of us, the only, I don't have any money.
Redistribute my wealth and buy you lunch more often.
Yes,
totally
exactly.
Agree.
That's the American way.
Yes. Kevin,
roll Obama.
Sending me emails.
Yeah, response to his emails.
Excellent. Hey, quick question before we talk about feeding you more. Regarding the pass rushing capability that we have, are you satisfied with what we have?
No.
Or are we feeling that we're kind of wasting valuable time to – to sign an effective pass rusher? Because every time I'm hearing that we don't have enough, you know, pass rushing to actually disturb the quarterback from the opposing team, and yet we're still waiting to sign someone. So do we think that we have what it takes, or are we just playing with fire again?
Playing with fire again.
Unless you're
I think.
Of Fred's belief, and he thinks, like, Abraham is already sort of tongue-in-cheek or wink-wink in the mix.
Right.
Otherwise, I don't think we have enough, even with a massive year two jump from Chandler Jones that Paul's expecting.
Yeah, I agree.
They need some more pass rush help. I think that should be one of the top priorities in the draft. Cornerback, pass rusher. Those are the...
Now, Tommy Kelly might help out some.
Yeah.
And that might be a boost to that sort of interior versatile rotation in there.
But most of your sacks come from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, they need more. They need, you know, Jake Beckett maybe to do something, or Justin Francis to have the year two jump, or, you know, Trevor Scott, I'm assuming, is gone.
I mean, it'd be a great surprise if Beckett can make that jump and do kind of the things he did in the SEC.
Right.
If he can get a sack a game, what else can you ask for?
Wow, jeez. Well,
then it'd be
then you're an all-pro, yeah.
for the money we paid Kelly, we could not have signed Andre Carter again, because I think he signed for the Raiders again.
Yeah, you could have signed him. They just
still think Abraham's
Kelly.
The better the better option on the outside.
Yeah, I would.
This point.
I think at this point, I agree. Yeah.
You really like Abraham, huh?
I think he can contribute, you know.
You thought Trevor Scott could.
Thanks Olivier.
I have a question for Fred.
Yes.
If Abraham is
why
already.
Why am I so optimistic?
No.
Why are you so damn optimistic?
I'm optimistic, I guess. You guys have a lot of ifs. I don't. So I guess I could be considered. You make fun of me for being a homer. I don't
You've
care.
Never been considered a homer.
I don't think there's a ton of ifs.
Eastern. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't think there are a ton of ifs. That's all.
He built the house. He's not just a homer.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, if they. Assuming that you're right and they have a wink-wink deal with John Abraham.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they just sign it?
I don't know.
Because I think he said earlier maybe Abraham doesn't want to be here for all of the offseason.
But they have an agreement with him. So
right, but the players, he's
the
not
player doesn't
skipping
wanna,
out.
Yeah.
He's not officially.
So you don't think the players know that?
No. I don't necessarily think they would know that Abraham is already going to be.
Well,
on the team.
If you have a mandatory minicamp in June, the guy's on the contract, technically he's supposed to be there.
I just can't imagine that Belichick doesn't want a guy at a mandatory minicamp that he thinks is that he knows now is on the team.
Well, maybe that's the condition for playing for you, and they were willing to do that.
I can't imagine Belichick would do that. Just can't.
I think he's done it in the past. Aren't there examples of guys that, you know, have Ooh. Come in late and it's been okay?
Well, I know everybody thought last year that that was Brian Waters' thing, but that came to be
false.
No, but
he did that with Waters the first year, too.
No, they signed Waters in the middle of training camp.
They signed him at the end of training.
Well, that's the
end.
Point.
After
he
cuts
had just
were
gotten
made.
Released.
He had just gotten cut. Was, yeah,
oh, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you might
believe
be right,
so.
Paul. I think Paul's right.
He got released
he got
by
released.
Kansas City.
Kansas
we signed
City.
Him within
after
a week.
Cuts.
Yeah,
after
it was very
cuts.
Fortunate because we had – you know,
I don't know if he got cut by Kansas City in the final cut, but it was late.
As I recall, it was fortunate that he
camp had already started.
I think Paul's right. But I think there's other examples of veterans that
I may be wrong on that, but that's how I remember.
Yeah, and I think what you're thinking of with the offseason, Fred, is last year people were assuming
everybody thought that's
he's
the
not,
deal.
He's not here for minicamp because they have the agreement in place that he can come in.
And I just don't think that that's something that Belichick would be down with. I don't think that's something he'd want. Especially for a new guy. Now, like a Willie McGinnis or someone that's in this program that he's trying to, like, maintain, that might be a little different. But this is a guy that has never played for Belichick.
Yeah, no, they cut Waters July 28th. He was cut, like, right at the beginning of
training camp.
Right, but he was out of football for a month. Because I remember Bill actually saying, this is something we've kind of had in the works for a while.
That's how I remember. I thought it was training camp that he got cut. That's what I thought.
Well, there's a difference between the beginning of training camp and the end of camp. When did they sign him?
They didn't have a week.
They didn't sign him until the end of August, right?
They allowed him to sit out training camp.
Exactly.
Yeah, they allowed him to sit out training camp. There's no – did you just pump your fists in the air?
Yes.
I don't think – I'm sorry. You could pump your – I don't think that's right. I don't think –
Well, he just said it.
I don't think they allowed him to miss minicamp.
No, training camp, not minicamp.
But you're assuming that they had a deal with him on July 28th?
I'm pretty sure Belichick, in his opening remarks when they signed Brian, there was a comment that basically said, we had this deal done.
But,
I can recall.
But like how long? You think for a month?
I think they let him skip training camp.
I don't.
Unexcused.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I don't have
throw your fists in the air. Because neither of you knows the answer.
Exactly, and I'm not gonna demand that I'm right. I just don't see those two things as being the same thing.
Fred, let's see first.
If John Abraham is signed in April, I don't think that's the same as signing in August. I don't think that's the same thing.
Well, for that year it was. That was coming out of the lockout, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But he was on another team.
No, he got cut July
28th. July 28th.
That was like when the lockout ended.
Yes.
That was so he was out of football for a month.
So I don't, the longest they could have had an agreement for was a month.
Right.
Not 4 months.
But the point is they allowed him.
The same thing.
I don't think it's the same. I mean, if you don't, that's fine. I don't think that's the same.
I do.
Yeah. I don't know. How is that the same?
You have an agreement and part of that
everybody's
agreement
scrambling
is we'll
around
see you at some
like
point.
Lunatics trying to like sign players and get free agency as they're getting training camp in that lockout. It was such a unique situation. You think this is the same thing?
On an individual basis, if a team and a player decide, I don't really want to go to training camp, and
well,
if that's all.
Again, I can't demand I'm right. I can't pump my fist like Fred because I don't know what Bill was thinking.
Oh, boy.
But I just don't see that as the same thing. Just saying, I'm gonna sign a guy today, but I'm not going to announce it until September 1st.
No, you can't even sign him. You just have an agreement.
No, but you guys are claiming that's what he did with Brian Waters on July 28th.
We have an agreement.
I don't think that was the case. But you
I don't
guys
know
might
it was July
right.
28th, but yeah. I'm pretty sure that
I think it might have been like, you know, we've had this in the works. I think that might have been 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's what I think. But
it
could
have been,
you guys
it could have been
be
a
right.
week or so. Yeah. I don't know if it was a whole month and a half.
I think knowing they Brian, let him skip camp.
But knowing Brian Waters, it makes sense. You know, he's that kind of guy. Doesn't like camp.
We're besmirching Brian Waters.
Well, that's the history he has.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Brian Waters. I'm basing my opinion on Bill Belichick.
No, I
don't think it's something that Bill Belichick would be wanting to do.
I mean, he allowed, you know, now this isn't a signing thing, but like Roman Pfeiffer, for example. He was
again
allowed,
a guy that he had.
He was allowed to go to California and take long weekends and not be at practice on Mondays when they.
He
had
wasn't
practice.
Allowed to skip mini camp and training camp.
No, but he makes adjustments for veterans. He does. He's not like
But I don't think
he doesn't treat everybody the same.
But I'm not.
Right.
I'm not claiming that he treats everybody the same. I'm not equating those two things. You know, missing Monday meeting to go to home is not the same as missing four months.
I understand that, but the point is he's
from
not,
a guy who's not even in your program.
All right, Paul, if you were the head coach and you had this guy, you wanted to get him, and the condition was he's a veteran, you know, 30-whatever years old, and says, you know, let's just delay this so I can come in the second week. Would you do it? Would you consider it?
Would I consider it? Yes.
So
I don't think
Belichick?
I don't think Belichick would.
Well, I think he would.
If I was in love with a player that much that I probably would be on the rarest of rare occasions, maybe like 1 out of 100 players, maybe. But I'm kind of with Belichick.
Maybe that's
I think
the difference
this stuff
between Denver and Patriots. The Patriots said that was okay, and Denver said no, we're not going to do that.
We don't know he's a Patriot
what
is yet.
I mean,
we
what
stop,
are we talking
like,
about?
Putting 3 steps forward.
I'm just saying that could have been a factor for Abraham.
Nothing's over, so there's no past tense.
But you guys are teasing me about. I'm trying very hard to say, I don't know that I'm right. This is just my opinion. Fred's making just blanket statements. This is why he turned down Denver.
Right.
I mean, how do we know he turned down Denver?
I said it could be. It could be.
It could be what? You don't know that he turned down Denver.
There's no
for all
past
you know,
tense in anything
he has
here.
This deal with Denver that you're saying that he has
right.
with the Patriots.
I don't know what's going on, but I said
but you're putting your hands
tape.
Over your head like
but
in
that,
triumph.
But that condition could have been one of the things he walked into both places with.
Oh, I feel you know? Lightheaded.
I do too, Kevin.
Yeah,
I just like suddenly like
that could have been a condition for John Abraham to sign with any team.
Right.
Or yeah. he might want to get paid and no
True.
One's offered him the money that he wants. Yeah. That to me is the most likely scenario of all of these.
We got to talk to Erica Lee. She's the only one that knows.
Oh, man. Why does he keep
Listen,
that
I still think
she's the one that tweeted it out.
I think that one of those veteran pass rushers
tweets?
Are going to be. I think one of those veteran pass rushers is going to be here, whether it's Abraham or Freeney or whoever. I think someone's going to be here.
And if not.
So do you think that they're going to eventually just say, okay, we'll.
I just don't think it's a because of a wink-wink in an agreement
no,
that they.
If they come they, here, they're, then.
They're all but signed now, but they're not going to officially make
but
it
but according to
until
you,
July
if they
or whatever.
Come here, it's either they, you know,
they didn't
bring
get the
their
money
demands they, down or the Patriots brought their offer up.
No, my guess is that they wouldn't. They Like Freeney said something about $6 million. I haven't
yes.
seen anything with Abraham. My guess is that Freeney realizes he ain't going to get that if he signs here.
Right.
Fred's off mic with
Fred,
a cookie.
You, Fred, not all of the things that you say are right can all be right.
All I'm envisioning.
Just so you know, you say about four different things, and then you just say right.
If Freeney says, if Freeney realizes he's not going to get $6 million, then his demands come down.
But
Fred,
you're
you
saying that he's already under contract.
Your own crap now.
No, not Freeney.
I didn't say anything about Freeney.
I'm just saying I think one of these pass rushers is going to be here. You think they already have an agreement with Abraham. So we don't think the same thing. So you can't just say right.
No, I said if I'm not right and you're right, then the only way either of these guys would, you know, come is if either the Patriots raise their offer or they lower their demands. Because there's an offer out there, we think, probably, you know, for
They
both
visited.
Of them.
There's
yeah.
probably something on the table.
Right.
Right.
So right now, according to you, Paul, they don't like the offer that the Patriots gave them or they would have signed.
I think that's accurate.
Okay.
You so, think that they one of them did or no?
Right.
You think Abraham did and that he's
right.
not going to be here until,
but,
I don't know, week 7.
So which do you think would happen? That
now
they,
he's mocking you. He said week 7.
Yeah.
Well, he has to get a full year so you can get the accrued season.
So that's where Paul, you know, plays the role of Andy Hart.
Yes.
And then accuses only Andy Hart of being Andy
exactly,
Hart.
Exactly, Fred.
Right.
I'm just
you don't like it when that happens, do you?
I'm just envisioning. Like,
I realize when it does happen.
August 16th, we're in the tent. It's like whatever the last couple
right.
days of camp is.
Right.
And John Abraham walks on the field, and Fred goes, yeah! Starts running around screaming. I told you!
And if that happens, I would sit there and say Fred was right. They probably had an agreement way back when. I would say that absolutely.
Because you always take things that way.
I
he's going to get mad at me.
Well, because that's unfair. I said that I'm wrong all the time. I said I was the guy who called up with the email with the draft, all the things that we got wrong. I have no problems admitting when I'm wrong. There's a,
I just
a,
remember you telling him how many we got right.
There's a sign.
The litany of picks.
Yeah, that
in
yeah.
eight drafts, I got four right, so who's wrong?
That
no,
wasn't much of an admittance.
He was killing us about
an admittance.
I was wrong. First of all,
says that a lot.
I didn't say that.
What did I
didn't say that
Mints.
I made those first-round picks. I didn't make the Chandler Jones pick last year. Andy did. But I say that that's us. When we have Brandon Merriweather was mine. I did make that pick. But Tavon Wilson, we killed him last year.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the guy said.
Eric's still killing him. Guys shouldn't have been drafted.
Paul, I'm with you. You
so
do
far, there's no year two jump.
I have no problem.
Paul does
when
admit
wrong.
When he's wrong. I have it.
Oh, he does. Of course.
I don't know how many times I can say this. I was wrong. Richard Seymour.
Wes Welker.
I mean, how many more times is that played?
No,
now that's one I'm a little stubborn on. But Richard Seymour, how many times we played that drop? I resigned when we drafted him. He turned out to be what a four.
I resigned.
Five-time All Pro. I mean, I was wrong. What are you going to do?
I resign.
Let's see. Patrick Bowen from Springfield, Mass., the owner of the Denver Broncos, writes in.
I think that's Bowen, isn't it?
Yeah,
he
Bowen,
says,
yeah.
Do you not pay
Close
attention
enough.
To the show?
I know. That's we were making fun
yeah.
of that last time.
Oh, sorry.
First
You know what? Wow. There were no breasts involved, and he didn't find
right.
it funny.
Or penises.
Yeah, more accurate, right. Fred. See how I can align with Fred and I can a blink.
First off, let me say I'm really glad that Julian Edelman re-signed. His play in return game is invaluable. With him and Leon Washington, our special teams has a real opportunity to be one of the best units in franchise history.
Units.
I know it. It's always on his mind. Now to Sanders, or Emmanuel Lewis, as Fred likes to call him. I thought this was a good move. Not great. If Pittsburgh fails to match the offer sheet and he's on the roster, do you think there's a chance we still draft a receiver in the second round? I do. As it stands, I like the receiving squad with Sanders, contingent, of course, on Gronk and Amendola being healthy, too. And I understand that's a big if. I think Sanders is a more rounded receiver than his former teammate Wallace and a lot cheaper. He's shown the ability to create separation all over the field, and I think Brady can make him look real good. Maybe he can be what a lot of us fans and media types expected Lloyd to be last year, only with only with more playing ability, playmaking ability.
And professionals.
As I'm writing this, Dennard's sentencing came over the wire. I really hope this kid has half a brain in his head, and his incident in Nebraska was a one-time thing. I thought he had a real solid season and would love to see him make a big jump this year. Question for you guys, whose year two jump would have a bigger impact on the defense this year, Jones or Dennard? I would take Jones.
Me too.
The more havoc you can create up front, the more you can force the opposing team's quarterbacks to make bad decisions, such as the better you can make your secondary look.
It starts up front.
Wrong use of IE.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But
that's an admittance from you.
last but not least, sorry if I pissed you off or offended you on Tuesday, Eric, about your sex life. What is it? He won't harass you anymore on the subject. Can I get a screw you, bitch?
No, you can't.
Oh.
I have a headache today.
He can pick on me because that whole Emmanuel Sanders is better than Mike Wallace thing really stuck to me early in that email.
All of you freaking rule, and thank
more
God
well-rounded.
For PFW in progress. And sorry about the length. Okay.
It's all about the length, Fred.
Yeah, he made fun of Eric.
Thought it was the girth. Wait, he just apologized to him two sentences early.
And then he took a shot at him right after that.
Well done.
Pat. Well done.
A lot of emails coming in now. They're flowing in now that the email system is working.
It is working, yes.
Mike in Florida, I'm finally over the playoff loss, and I started listening again. It's good to hear all your voices. I'm really not concerned about our wide receivers. Amendola, to me, is at the very least 80% of what Welker is. And
no, because he doesn't even play 80% of the games.
And this is his email.
But I'm not just going to allow stuff to be spewed. That's how people like Felger become like these influencers of opinion by spreading crap and misinformation.
Okay, well, let's...
You need to pick apart things.
Okay.
Wes Welker
make
was
a note
always
and we'll pick it apart.
On... No, because I forget. I have a bad memory. Wes
I
Welker
said, make
was
a note.
Always on the field. Always.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's part of my problem always with this offense in general. No matter what, you knew Wes Welker would be on the field for close to 16 games and catch in the range of 100 passes. You do not have a single certainty that's anywhere near that now other than Tom Brady will be on the field for 16 weeks and he's pretty damn good. The rest of them are question marks because your tight ends are either injury prone or can't catch. Your wide receivers are new to Brady or injury prone. There is nothing that's a certainty in the passing game other than Brady. Thank you. Continue.
You know one of the differences between me and you?
Waist size?
When you do that, I love it. I love when you guys go on those rants and I just sit there and listen. I mean, not that I disagree with anything you said. I love when you get on a rant.
Thanks.
You guys hate when I do it.
Because you're ranting at us.
Not
if
always.
If you rant at the listeners, I'm fine with
not
that.
Not always.
I love when you go zero to hot on an email.
I rant.
Especially when you pick out like four words and rip them over.
Well, like he's more well-rounded than,
yes,
than
like
Mike
that.
Wallace. No, but I went off on the guy who's, you know, all the Pittsburgh cap room. This is a cap. You know, no, it's not. I mean, all of the people are saying this is a philosophical decision, not a money one.
But I will say, as good as Kevin Colbert is, I think that guy Omar Khan blows. And makes Kevin Colbert and the Steelers work harder than they need to. That he's their cap guy, Richard Miller, whatever, and he seems to not be very good.
They seem too willing to do the credit card thing.
Yeah. I don't think they get good analytical, financial, cap-related advice from him. And that's my thing, Fred. Stupid will fail. It's not necessarily a cap issue. It's a stupid issue. Just like being smart isn't necessarily a cap issue, it's a smart issue.
Sanders and Jones will only be productive if Gronk is healthy. To me, that's the key to a successful season. I think everybody here agrees with that.
Sanders and Jones.
Okay. Oh, you agree with that now?
I was thinking Jones.
You got to have Gronk healthy.
Oh, you didn't think that last January.
Throw in.
You see?
A whole season.
Throw a flag. Why would you yell at me for that?
Throw in Abraham, and then we draft a cornerback that makes an impact. Not at all inconceivable as far as I'm concerned. I'm sure Paul will disagree with my wide receiver statement.
I'm good with you. I'm aligned with you.
But how many Jags has Brady turned into stars
in
this league?
Total agreement.
A healthy Gronk in our upgrade on defense, two-year leap in Abraham this year. I think the Patriots will at least get an extra two possessions per game. That will be the difference. That's a couple of ifs.
Why are we getting extra two possessions? Because
the defense will get them off the field more. But most teams have a lot of ifs, so I like our chances. Yeah, I like our ifs.
Who are the Jags that Brady has turned to stars?
Stars? Too strong of a word.
Mm.
But he's made players of average ability viable, I think.
Who?
Rashay Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney.
Guys like that. Now, he doesn't have a long list, you know, the whole I rest my case thing. You know, David Patton.
I mean, did Christian Ponder turn Michael Jenkins into a good player last year because he had 40-something catches?
No.
I mean, that's all Rashay Caldwell was. Every offense has to have somebody catch passes. If you're going to throw the ball, somebody's going to end up with somewhere in the range of 50 to 70 receptions. So I think the guys that have been good with Brady have been pretty good. I think Deion Branch and David Givens were pretty good. I don't think he made them. I think, you know, obviously Moss and Welker and guys that have come through are good.
I think they were better than they were. I think he made them better than they were. Let's put it that way. Both cases, Branch and Givens.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good.
So, you know, you always criticize me for being sort of anti-quarterback. He gets no credit.
I think something that's greatly overrated is the guy getting that much better because he's going to come play with Tom Brady. I think Brady's a good quarterback.
But you
don't get me wrong there, but I don't think he creates – I don't think he takes chicken you-know-what and makes chicken salad
often. I think the guy has to have a certain amount of talent, but I think the quarterback has to be the guy that delivers the ball on time and accurately and – if he can't do that, then...
then he stinks. That has nothing to do with the receiver.
No, but then the receiver doesn't have a chance, you know, and...
but who are the receivers that were incapable or low-level that
he made
good?
I think you're taking it to an extreme.
Yeah.
I think you're making it sound like he could take
quarterback makes a receiver
people
better.
Don't claim
that's
that...
It doesn't have to be Tom Brady, any quarterback.
And I'm not necessarily talking about the number of catches. I look at a guy like Branch and Givens and Gaffney, and I don't think they're complete... talentless stiffs. I think they were good players, but I thought he made them more than good players. I thought he put them in positions to succeed at a level higher than maybe their ability was.
And sometimes a good player doesn't have a chance if the quarterback's bad. I look at
Peyton Manning and what he's done with guys like Pierre Garçon and Austin Colley and now in Denver with Eric Decker. I think he's making those guys look better than they are.
I think Manning has a better track record of it.
Well, I think you just
maybe he's had more.
I think you're just anti-Brad
receivers. I think you're being a little, contradictory here, a little Felgerish.
How?
Yeah, you're just picking fights.
So was,
what you're doing?
So he made Brandon Lloyd better, except Brandon Lloyd was better with the stiff out of who's the stiff that played for the Bears and
Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton.
But that now you're being disingenuous because you yourself just went through a whole thing of someone's going to make all the catches. Well, clearly Brandon Lloyd was that guy in Denver that year.
Right.
They just threw the ball to him every play, and he caught
and he got 1,500 yards.
No, I know he made a lot of plays. He had a great year.
So that's more than Rashay Caldwell.
But he had a great year.
So he did a better job making him good.
Yeah, but did they win any games when he was doing that? I mean, the Patriots were in the AFC Championship game when Rashay Caldwell caught 67 passes.
Because Rashay Caldwell caught 67
passes. No, he is so disingenuous.
He's just a jerk, sports jerk. Really is.
See, but I actually like that banter with, like, this is, you know, me and Andy always make fun of Felger and Mass. Andy could be Felger right now.
I think it is good discussion.
You're breaking down the Patriots.
But he's not.
You know what isn't constructive? It's just one person says something and the other agrees.
You're trying to have a constructive.
No, but I like, because Andy could be Felger right now, and I could be Tony Mass and say, you're right, completely ignoring the fact that, well, just what you just said was what Brandon Lloyd was in Denver. I mean, and I understand that he had a better year than Caldwell. He's a better player than Caldwell. There's
but
no
like Jabbar Gaffney had success in Denver. He caught 60 balls or something there. So clearly Brady didn't
make him. I didn't say, but you're taking the word make him and instead of make him better.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's always done that. I'm not sure he's always maximized
the potential of every receiver. I don't think he's done a good job of that. The last couple of years, as he's gotten older, I don't think he's been as good at that as he was earlier in his career.
But that would be my question. Was he good at that earlier in his career, or were Branch and Givens pretty good? did they do a good job of maximizing their talent and taking advantage of opportunities?
See, unfortunately, we never got to see Givens anywhere else because he got hurt, and we never got to see it.
Branch's, part of the beauty of my argument.
Branch's numbers did not stay the same. Now, that's a hard way to evaluate a guy. I don't like just looking at the guy's receptions and saying that, well, he wasn't as good in Seattle. But I don't think he was as good in Seattle.
Wasn't that much worse, though, for the situation change? He was never a 1,000-yard receiver here. What did most catches he
have? You could make the argument that Randy Moss, who was already great.
He did have 998.
You could make the argument that Randy Moss, who was already great, had his greatest season with Tom Brady.
See, that's another one. Now, no one's saying that he made Randy Moss.
Right.
But
he brought it to another level because of Tom
Brady. That's the one thing Brady can't do.
Now, what about Welker?
So who made who?
What about Welker? Do you think that he was
a
better player?
Maybe it shows that Brady can't throw a deep ball with a guy that's out.
Do you think he made Welker better?
I think he utilized Welker.
But no one's saying that he made Welker. Do you think he made Welker better?
I think my argument would be better termed as he can utilize talent maybe as well as anyone. I don't know that he makes anyone better. I think Welker is a talented young guy.
I think you're really parsing words.
I haven't seen him maximize.
I don't think Welker is a better athlete because he's with Tom Brady, but his numbers are certainly better than if
because Brady had, utilizes it better.
Okay, but that made him a better NFL player now because he's got better numbers.
No, but Welker didn't do anything any differently if he gets open and the quarterback misses him.
Right.
Right?
But
so all that's happening is he's utilizing the open receiver.
Again, you're parsing words.
I understand what Andy's saying. I just disagree with it a little bit.
If Welker left here to go to Denver and he goes and he catches 100 balls, okay, he's the same guy. But if he leaves here and goes to Jacksonville, he's probably the same guy except that the idiot is throwing into his feet.
He's got the same ability anywhere
he goes. And that's why he's going off of that.
But will that ability be able to be used with a bad quarterback?
No.
That's the point.
Maybe we're looking for a different term, Andy.
When has he taken a guy that isn't very good or isn't very productive elsewhere and made, like, somehow truly brought the best out of him?
I think having success in a system makes you better. The more catches you get, the more your confidence builds, it makes you a better football player.
Didn't work for Lloyd.
You know, well, I think Lloyd's best days have passed. I think Lloyd is a special case. Don't compare him to anybody out there.
No, but I'm just trying to compare the different options we have. Chad Ochocinco, Donald Hayes.
Having
guys that he could have made better.
Success makes you better. It makes you better. What? It does.
Having success
the more you
makes
can,
you,
you know, the more catches you have, the more, you know.
No, but Andy's point is Wes Welker any better of a player than he was in Miami?
No.
Then he didn't make him better. That's Andy's point.
He
now,
just
I
took
think
advantage of him.
Ability-wise, he isn't any better.
I think maybe we should be looking for a different.
Made him more productive.
I think maybe we should be looking for a different term.
You can't argue,
well, you
with
can't
that.
Argue
he's
that
gotten,
he wasn't more
he's
productive.
Gotten more out of
being,
Welker
right, but
than
being
anybody
more
else.
Productive is makes you better.
But he
no,
hasn't
it doesn't.
Always gotten more out of everybody or improved people. And
no,
gotten,
there's certain people you couldn't work with.
I like when you're in one of these moods.
I do
where
too.
You just end it with
I do too, but
something
I,
that's inarguable.
I do think the last couple of years he's been a little bit less, adaptable than he was. I think he's gotten a little set in his ways with, you know, we talk about it all the time. Like, we just sort of gives up on guys right away. He doesn't, and I think that Andy's right about that. You know, Taylor Price coming into the league and becoming a 55, 60 catch guy would have been, that was a good place for him.
Right.
You know, he made him better. He got a lot out of this guy who was very raw coming out of college. Never even gave it a shot. Never even gave it a chance.
Right.
You know, was that other guy from the Raiders that came over?
Doug Gabriel?
Yeah. Doug Gabriel.
Then he got high.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
And then there was the
Purple Haze.
Purple Haze?
In a Haze.
Right.
Andy Hart.
A while back, who was the guy from Carolina?
Donald Hayes.
That's the Purple Haze. Yeah. I couldn't think of his first name.
Well, that's the other thing that's sort of undersold. Everybody says, you know, the Patriots' track record in the draft with receivers isn't good. Their track record in free agent receivers isn't great either.
Yeah, that's something Michael Felger said yesterday and no one called him on. I'd much rather they do a better job
evaluating
looking at
NFL
a veteran
film.
In the NFL and evaluating whether he can fit in their scheme.
Well,
they don't. At
part
receiver.
Of that,
they
though,
just don't.
Belichick said it's easier to evaluate these guys.
Well, I'm sure it is, but
so
we haven't
different.
Been that much
well, then
better
why
at
is
it.
He swinging a miss so much.
Well, you gotta take chances. I mean, the same thing with the
no,
tight
but
end. Eventually, you're gonna hit.
I'm just saying they're equally. It's an inexact science in free agency, just like it is in the draft. They've had hits, they've had misses in both.
Right.
Right. So it's not like I feel better going after Emmanuel Sanders because generally when they sign a free agent receiver, it works. No,
I don't think the percentage of acquisitions of veterans is much better than their percentage of drafted wide receivers. I mean, maybe there's one or two that's better, you know, Welker and Moss, and I'll count the trades, you know. I mean, Welker and Moss obviously are two huge hits. Like, you know, Gibbons and Branch were two huge hits as wide receivers. You know, you got Julian Edelman as a wide receiver in the draft. There's not that – I mean, Brandon Lloyd, okay, he cut 75 passes. I'll get. They didn't think enough of him to re-sign to keep him for very little money.
Fred, had Wes Welker gone to the Indianapolis Colts, what would have happened?
With Manning.
Yeah.
He would have been just as good. Because Manning's just as good.
No, I know. That's my point. Yeah.
I think
Brady made anybody.
Andy's point is Wes Welker was obviously a very good receiver in Miami,
yes.
And the quarterback couldn't take advantage as much as a Manning
a
or a Brady would.
A quarterback doesn't give them the God-given talent you need.
Right.
That you just
I
have.
Think it's a semantic
But they
issue
make them
here.
More productive.
Yeah, no one's arguing that.
Aren't they all?
Production is fact.
You know, let's
I mean, production is a black and white. Your production you know, goes from X to Y.
Welker and Moss, they're the hammer. A good carpenter, carpenters all have hammers, but only a good carpenter knows how to use it the right way and gets the most out of it.
Voids his thumb.
You know?
Doesn't hit his thumb.
So, you know, you all have the tools, but what do you do with them?
I thought he was talking about Brandon Spikes.
You know?
You know, I used the hammer with him.
But like Calvin Johnson, do you think Calvin Johnson makes Matthew Stafford better?
And yes, I do.
I do too.
I
know it's a different argument.
Even though
it's
I love Stafford.
Versus,
but why can't it work the other way?
I do not think Matthew Stafford makes Calvin Johnson better.
No, in that case, because
no,
Calvin
but I think
Johnson
Brady makes Welker
world.
Better.
I think Calvin Johnson outjumps people.
Right.
He knocks down a ball
but
that should be
if
picked.
A great,
he's longer.
If an all-world wide receiver can make a quarterback better, then why can't an all-pro quarterback make a receiver better?
He can help him be more productive. I like when you phrase it like that. I want to know the guy. Like, Paul rattled off some of the names in Indy that I think blow. I think they are Jags. I think Pierre Garçon, Jag. Jacob Tammy, Jag. And I think Manning
Austin
takes
Collie.
Chicken poo and at times has made some chicken salad.
We did
they
like
had
him
that
in the
run
draft,
where there was
remember?
Like a couple guys in a row.
As a Jag. That's
right.
How I liked them.
But Manning makes them productive, and part of it is the offense. I'm not just saying it's just Manning. Part of it is being with a Reggie Wayne or a Marvin Harrison and being a piece to the puzzle. I think Dallas Clark was a Jag.
I agree.
That he made better than he was. But I don't think Brady necessarily made Ben Watson into the star that Dallas Clark sort of became, a Pro Bowl caliber. People think of him as this great pass catcher.
So your argument isn't that a good quarterback cannot make a wide receiver better. Your argument is that Tom Brady can't make a wide receiver
didn't
better.
Say can't. I think it's an overblown aspect of his reputation.
Okay.
People throw it out there. Get him with Brady.
Right.
Nobody's gonna...
Okay.
Really? Really? Because pretty much everybody who produced with Brady
produced
somewhere
and
else.
And you know what? I would kind of agree with you that because we've seen too many cases of where it hasn't worked.
And it's not a fault of
you're looking
his.
Forward to that commentary next
I month. Think it, I think it's not a black mark against him. I don't think there are a ton of guys. I think it's in all of sports is overused. Basketball, you know, it made everybody around him that much better. I think it's a little easier in basketball to do as well.
Yeah,
it's a little
only
different.
Four guys with you,
and the game is different. And you know, ball hogs
sure.
And the stuff, you know, that whole thing. But I think
different.
it's overblown with Brady. How much he makes every receiver that you know, it's like this magic cure all. You come to New England, you're going to go up X percent because you're just with Brady. I don't really think that's true.
Yeah, I think there is a case to be made that he's really demanding. And if you don't do it the way he wants,
you're out.
You're out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that means he's that's a point in Andy's side.
I know. No, I
because part of the
it
isn't just the physical making someone better. It's the
he's
bringing him into the system, making
him
feel comfortable.
If you're making guys better, you're not being that.
No.
You know the Parcells thing where supposedly he knows every button to push for everybody.
But
he knows who to yell at, who to coddle, who to this. I'm not sure Brady. I think Brady has one my way, the one way, or
learn
it ain't
it
working
or get
yet.
Out.
Right.
I'll give you another one. We'll get to some of the news today. We hadn't talked about the Aaron Hernandez thing. You know, there was
yes.
He evidently signed a deal with Puma, right? Was it Puma?
Yes, Puma.
Yep. So he talked a little bit yesterday. Had some quotes locally. He's out in California. He's really concentrating on his workout. His goal is really to stay healthy for the 16-game season. He's doing a little bit of a change in his off-season program. But there was a lot of talk about him. He was going out to California to spend the off-season so he could spend time with Brady. Well, hasn't done that yet.
Because?
You know,
did he say anyway?
Brady has been seen throwing with Amendola and
Terrell
Owens, of all people. But evidently Hernandez hasn't done that yet. You know, I think that's another one
Nobody
of those
asked
things.
Him?
I don't know why. I don't think it said why, did it? You read that story.
I skimmed it, so I don't really want to comment.
But Andy brought up the thing, you know, like there's this, you know, it's well often repeated, you know, Brady, wait till he gets in Brady's offense. Or wait till Brady's throwing the ball. He can make this guy better, that guy better. And I think we also hear, you know, about the Brady work ethic. And I'm not, you know, personally, I think works very hard and is ultra prepared and always ready to go. But I'm not sure that he's doing that stuff with the other guys that he used to do earlier in his career. Maybe that's why.
Like going to Duke with all his receivers.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I mean, listen, I know that what you're doing with Peyton Manning.
I know what you're
not,
doing there.
You're not getting me to – I'm not going to say anything bad about Peyton Manning either. I mean, I think the world of both of these guys. I think that Brady is phenomenal. I really do. But I do think there's an element to what Andy's saying that maybe we overrate some of these things a little bit.
Let's see. Melvin from Tennessee says, 11th time emailer, 150th time caller that has a 2011 Chrysler 300 that Fred can't fit in.
Ooh, wow. That's a shot.
That's a big car. That's that big, bulldog-looking kind of wide.
Yeah, I bet you I could fit in.
He could fit in. If he can fit in his tiny little Lexus hybrid, that thing is like a little cocoon when you sit in there. Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. With the tight end position, are you guys comfortable with it? Is Ballard the true answer to the backup? We tried Shianko and Winslow, and that didn't work. Would you draft a versatile tight end late in the draft that you can use more in the passing attack? Or are you comfortable with the ones you have?
I'm comfortable with the ones we have.
Far more comfortable at tight end than I am at wide receiver.
I agree.
You're probably far more comfortable than David Ortiz just looked running down the line.
Well, I mean,
one uniform per player.
Noah from Denver.
He hasn't
seen
his toes in a while.
Hope all is well. Couldn't get through on the phone, but I would like to ask Paul why the Falcons let a guy who has double-digit sacks get away for $1.5 million. Is that amount correct? And if it is, why are we hesitating? This guy would be a great addition.
You'd have to ask Thomas Dimitroff why he didn't. I have no idea why.
A lot of the speculation early was like some analytic thing that all his sacks didn't come in the division and came at this and that, and there was some analytics involved.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the answer to that. I don't know why the Falcons got rid of him.
They did unload their pass rushers and Edwards.
Well, Edwards, you have a pretty good idea of.
But you think if you got rid of him,
I don't know of anything with Abraham.
The guy who was sort of the mainstay. Now you're really overhauling.
Yeah, they got the beer man though, right? He's a good pass rusher for them.
And they
right?
signed Umeyora,
but.
Croy Bierman?
Croy Bierman, isn't he still there? Yeah,
so.
and they obviously thought enough of the position to sign somebody else. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that one.
Quick quiz from Mark from Cheddar.
Is there a lunch on the line?
This will be one sport that Jake Steele cannot beat you at. Okay.
Life.
Let's see. No.
Who said that I'm better at life?
The thing I can't beat you at is running the marathon, which is true.
Well, I'd like to run a marathon first.
Next time we speak to Andy.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll be speaking
to Andy.
Hopefully
finish the marathon. What a great story that
will
be.
He'll come in on Tuesday with that tinfoil blanket.
Has anyone ever died in the Boston Marathon?
I'm sure.
What? Really?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, then it wouldn't be a great story. If I was the first ever, that might be kind of a great story.
He's so stubborn. Even his own death would
be a great story.
And by the way, I don't concede that you can't run a marathon. Until I finish, I haven't run a marathon.
Have a better chance of doing it than I do.
But that's only because I've trained.
I have
if you
no
trained,
chance.
Fred, you could do it.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't train to do
but
it.
Even
no,
if
could.
I did train
no,
I and you train, you would
I'd beat
me.
You.
Yeah.
It might take you
but
longer
hoping,
to train, but
I'm
you could train to do it,
because I'm
going to
consider it a failure if I don't cross the finish line. That's a failure.
Maybe the Achilles will bother you now, but
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, you'd lose some weight, and hopefully you'd stop eating a chicken bacon cheeseburger
obviously,
every day for lunch.
You'd have
chicken,
to change. I mean,
whatever the hell you had on there.
I'd have to change all of that, but I just don't think physically I could do it.
I think you could. You used to be skinny.
Paul, you
at one
know,
time in
my
life
yourself,
you were skinny.
And my knees bothered me then.
Where you refused to lift weights.
Right.
You could have lifted weights if you
If you just
to.
Tried at anything you did in life, you'd be a far better person.
You refused to lift weights?
Yeah.
Did you?
You refused.
Just turned into a
I didn't refuse to lift weights.
Yes, you did.
I was very intimidated in the weight room in high school. Because I wasn't as strong as everybody else.
But you get strong by lifting.
Thanks.
If we could
so why did you stay in the weight
Eric's
room?
Eric's personality
this is
and
another.
Paul's person. Eric thinks he can do anything.
Can we?
You don't think you can do anything. If we melded you two together, I think you'd have a lot of success in life.
Andy, did you just make the assertion that I lack confidence?
Well,
I think a lot of listeners would disagree with you.
Confidence slash go through with it. Like actually
stick-to-itiveness?
Stick-to-itiveness. Your confidence, and then you're like, hey, I'm going to go get a Pepsi.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just going to
quickly. We're running out of time. I want to get to this email.
Confidence.
Ready question. Which Texas city has played for the Patriots? That's easy.
Thomas Austin.
Antoine Houston.
Houston Antoine?
Oh.
Houston
Thomas Austin.
I'm going to go Thomas
Although,
Austin.
Did
okay,
he
that works too.
I think he did.
I think he did.
All right.
And we'd have him out of Dallas.
How does
Fred... We had a wife of a yeah. general manager named
yeah.
Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I know the answer to this. Do you guys know it? How does Fred pronounce circumference?
Circumference.
Circumference.
Circumference. So you didn't know it.
What is the circumference of the Earth?
Why did you do that?
Huh?
Do you know the circumference of the Earth?
I used to. I don't remember that. That's like eighth grade science.
Well, somebody asked it on the radio, like this common knowledge type quirky question, and then they never gave the answer.
Well, don't you? Isn't it
the equator?
Well, that's what the middle of the Earth is, but the circumference of the Earth is
the same. It's like it's an
it's
orb.
The latitude that you have to whatever degree that is or whatever. I don't know.
It's the equator. Whatever. I'm going to make it like
right?
I would
How
for
many
my
miles
son. If I took
around,
the equator
right? yeah,
and
exactly.
I unhooked it and made it a straight line, whatever that measurement
that's
is.
That's the circumference.
Yeah, that's the circumference or circumference, depending on
which,
you know,
which
your point of view.
Which rugby team did Eric watch on TV whilst in England?
Well, I know the answer to this one, and Andy should too, because you watched it with me.
Yeah, I did. Doesn't mean I know the answer.
It was the London Wasps.
All right. Oh, for Paul. Kind
of so that. You can do that?
These are for Paul.
Do they have the Italian guineas?
No. These questions are for Paul.
They were actually black and yellow uniforms.
Oh, I see.
I have the Nigerian.
Not a bunch of guys that's wearing, it. You know,
I'm sorry.
Hunting outfits.
I'm sorry if that offended anybody. I'm Italian, and I don't like that word. But
Fred, is the slang term for Portuguese people okay?
I don't know what that
I wouldn't. I wouldn't if I were
they
you.
They said it on the radio the other day.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it right.
Really, slang for anybody is really okay, right?
Yeah. That's on the side of caution there, yeah.
Right.
Well, that's why I wanted to make that
for
quick
Paul,
apology.
What was the score, Paul, in the Patriots-Dolphins 2005 game at Gillette?
Oh, boy.
28-26.
I assume you're right.
I think that's the
that's
Castle
the
game, right?
Castle game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
How many TDs did Drew Bledsoe throw throughout his entire career within 10 will do?
166. Oh, in the Patriots' career or overall?
No, his entire career.
I don't know.
Oh.
What is it?
I don't know.
Who doesn't give the answers?
Who doesn't have the answers?
I can give you a Patriots career.
166, I think,
oh,
is a Patriot.
How many combined sacks and interceptions did Rodney Harrison or Rodney Mayo have throughout his entire career? Within 5 will do.
30 sacks, 30 interceptions.
No, it's like.
It's not within 5?
40-40, right?
No.
Wasn't
no,
it 40?
No,
was
no,
it 40-40?
No, it's under 30-30, I believe, isn't it? Isn't it
well,
right
I thought
at 30-30?
I thought he got to 30-30.
I thought he was 25-25, but.
Okay,
well,
so
let's say 60.
Go within 5.
Say 60.
Let's say
okay.
60. It's within, I'm pretty sure it's within 5 of 60.
And last question, add up the number of TDs Brady threw in 2010, the number of extra points by Gostkowski in 07, the number of playoff games played at Gillette, and multiply
this?
That number by Ken Walters' shirt number. If you're within 25, I'll buy you lunch.
You can't
look
how can
it up.
Multiply by 13. 36. I don't know how many extra points Gostkowski.
I believe it's 77. Because Brady had 50 touchdowns.
What was the next one?
And there were 20 something.
Number of playoff games played at Gillette.
All time.
Lunch isn't worth it, really.
Yes, yeah. It is. So shut your pie hole. I'm waiting for Paul to give me a number on that.
Tell you what, we'll give you the answer.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW.
And yeah, and we won't cheat. We'll just do it on paper, and then we'll give you the answer.
Thanks for participating today and listening.
Trying to do the math.
Today's Thursday, right?
Circumference.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.